You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Look what happens when Larry isn't here.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to do this.
We're mass communicating.
I'm very nervous.
All right.
I'm very nervous.
All right, here we go.
Everybody.
Okay, this is the real thing. Are we recording?
We're recording.
Hello and welcome to Comedia Gogo's Public Access Podcast. My name is Regan.
I'm Jess.
And Larry is not here. He is indisposed. He is full of CAT scan smoothies right now.
He's got a tummy ache.
He's got a stummy ache.
This stummy hurts.
He's full of smoothies so that they can see what's going on inside of him. We all wish him the best. As you know, Larry was diagnosed with cancer, unfortunately. It's the least funny thing to by the look on your face, Sarah. That is the appropriate look you're supposed to have on your face when you find out someone has cancer. But we're all behind him. We're all excited about his wonderful road to immediate recovery and all the good stuff that he's going to be showing us and going through. But unfortunately, he wasn't going to be able to be here today. But filling in for him.
Sitting in his seat is
a three-time public access podcast. And now you can be officially the funniest member of Comedia Gogo.
This is awesome.
Actually, tonight I thought would be the... I was thinking about this earlier. I thought now would be the appropriate time to reveal that all along it was Larry who was the funniest member.
All right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought
yeah.
now would be the time to reveal that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if he is listening out there and this can help him in any way recover... Larry, you always have been the funniest member of Comedia Gogo.
Wow. And he's not just saying that because you're sick.
Not just saying that. I mean, excluding Chris Edmondson because he's obviously the funniest. But, like, of all others, and hopefully Chris is watching this film.
No,
probably not at all.
So today we are happy campers to be talking about what, Regan? That's what Larry usually says.
Yeah, exactly.
And I say... For the three topics that we're talking about today.
Topic number one is, what animal would you like to be reborn as and why? And topic number two is, what food or food item is something you cannot live without? And topic number three.
That one's mine, in which I said, what is there a brand specific ritual that you have with a product or like a food or something? A specific ritual with a brand name product.
Like Dunkin' Oreos.
Splitting the Oreos,
like
Dunkin',
twisting,
putting
Oreos.
A lime on your Corona or Tecate or whatever, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And we're pleased this punch to have, as we said, Shaggy on the podcast.
Shaggy, three-time public access and longtime Comedia Gogo friend, supporter, back in the Sam's Burger Joint days when you were doing the Puto Slam there on Tuesday nights. And you would graciously allow us to do... What are the
Brockenheimers?
Oh my gosh.
The
Brockenheimens.
Yeah, Brockenheimens.
Brockenheimens, yes.
Which is our German performance art troupe, the Brockenheimens. They were pretty awesome. And we always did the
Sacrifice poems.
You would let us do sacrifice poems often as we promoted our Comedia Gogo shows.
They were very seldom poems.
They weren't really poems, but. But we did our best. We tried to make them funny and, entertain the crowd as well as getting them to come out.
Stir up some booze.
Yeah.
Stir up some booze and some angry cries.
Yeah. You caught some interstate drama one year over the summer.
Yeah.
Monique did a poem. You guys were involved in some heckling.
Yeah.
There were phone calls. Threats were made. And that was all because of you guys.
That's what we like to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. We like to stir things up at Comedia Gogo. And we brought a special guest, Sarah Timmons. Slam poet, teacher, and excellent tamale maker, as you said.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I like those ways to describe me.
Yeah.
I've been called worse.
Nice. And I've seen you perform several times, and I've eaten your tamales as well at the quinceañera for the Poetry Slam. which I attended.
Oh, yeah. Those were good. Yeah. Now I'm really excited about the tamales. I was there.
Larry was going to
slam sometimes. Fuck you, Larry. You weren't there. Yeah. I was there.
Wait, but that's because you performed.
Yeah.
For free. For free.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
You and Joelle.
Joelle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you and Joelle did the mariachis.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, you were there. You've eaten Sierra's tamales.
Yes.
Yeah. And then my boyfriend and I said that if we ever get engaged and we get married, then at our wedding, we want to have two mariachis come and perform. And we already talked to Joel about it.
So. Oh, yeah. No. Nice. Yeah. I'm in. I'm in.
And we'll give you something.
Yeah.
Maybe. Tamales.
Tamales. Yeah. Tamales. Exactly.
Yeah.
The band's back, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's cool. We did a whole, me and Joel did the mariachi bit at someone's birthday at a Mexican restaurant for a solid hour. It was torturous.
Yeah.
I don't think my family would get it, and that's why I would love it.
Yeah.
It would blow their minds, right?
Yeah.
They'd be like, you paid for that?
They aren't very good musicians.
Yeah, and we make some real tip money, because we actually, because every time we jokingly stick out hands for tips at non, like, functions, people always, person gives a dollar because they just feel bad.
And they've performed that mariachi thing. Like, we went just to sort of like a prank video sort of thing, went downtown to the Riverwalk and had Joelle and Jess walk around and go up to people at their tables and play horribly. And they got chased
away. Yeah, they got chased away by San Antonio River Police.
River Police chased them. We got that on video.
You have to be, I don't think you can play mariachi music in public, I think, and ask for money.
Yeah, you can't be asked.
You can't solicit for tips or something like that. So they told us to stop. And we ran away. Like, we literally, like, oh, cool. And we literally ran away. They weren't chasing us, but we literally ran away. Because it was funny. Like,
yeah, we got to post that. We still have that on
there.
We have
somewhere.
The audio. Because they had lav mics, wireless mics. So when they were talking to the police, we got it all on.
I don't know. We just supposed to. Hey, I'm just trying to make a living. Or whatever nonsense was going on. It was
nice.
Yeah, it was
so you
fun.
Could have performed. Just yes. Couldn't ask.
Yes.
So you have something that you're going to be talking about today. You're going to be you've got a show coming up, correct?
I have I guess we call it a play, for lack of a better word. It's called American Pride. It is going to open at the Overtime Theater the last weekend in June. We'll be there through the following weekend, the first weekend in July. And it is based on the war experience of a local artist, actress, poet named Jules Vaquera. She runs the cabaret at the Overtime Theater.
Oh,
nice. And so she came out to Slam a couple years ago and did a poem about her experience at Abu Ghraib. And it was just this raw, visceral, gut-wrenching sort of like truth that you don't ever hear spoken about things that actually go on in the war. Yeah. And after the Slam, my wife was like, went up and introduced herself to Jules. And afterwards, she was like, she was telling me, you need to meet this woman, talk to her, find out if there's more poetry, get something done so that she can like voice this to more people and not just the Slam audience. And so I eventually reached out to her and we started talking. And she put it off as I discovered last night we were talking. She kind of avoided the topic for a year because she didn't want to confront some of the demons.
I bet. That's heavy stuff, man.
Yeah, that she wanted to embrace. And finally, she was ready about a year after we discussed it. And we had 4 weeks to sit down and write a play. And her and I and Rooster Martinez and Amanda Flores wrote this two-act play. And it's essentially eight narratives of her experience in Iraq that are pretty much unbearable if you were to do them without something in between them.
Okay.
So we took these eight pieces and it was sort of our responsibility to like buffer it with comedy,
lighten it up a bit,
and lighten it up and give people stuff to laugh at. And so so we basically took our Slam pieces and wrote new stuff about our experience as Americans during the Iraq war, protesting there's a piece about, support the troop decal stickers. There's a piece about being on the bus with veterans and it's a funny play with eight truly captivating, visceral, raw, honest portrayals of the Iraq war that we hope upsets people and hopes causes people to go home and think about the war and think about their politicians and question and challenge people. I'm very, very proud of it. And
awesome.
I'm excited. So I hope everybody makes it out. It's
nice.
It's something I think her story deserves to be heard, and anything I can do to help get that out there, I'm going to do. So American Pride, Overtime Theater.
American Pride, Overtime Theater. End of June?
End of June. Last week of June.
Last,
we open the
last
Friday.
Week of June.
I think it's Friday the 24th. I think it's when we open.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
We will be there.
I will be there.
Larry
for sure.
Probably
like,
won't.
I'm not just saying that. I'm going to go. Like,
Larry, yeah, Larry won't, right?
I mean,
Larry,
no,
he'll be cured and on his feet by then, but he's
no.
Like,
even, but yeah, he's going to milk it. He's going to milk it. He's going to be, oh, my foot or something, you know?
Yeah, years from now, when he's completely fine, he's going to be milking this.
And Joel Settles is in it. He,
what?
Yes, Joel Settles.
No wonder
is
he hasn't told me anything about it, because he loves never telling me about anything that he's doing. So that's awesome.
That's marvelous.
Now, Sarah, you're how many years have you been doing slam poetry?
Oh, I my best friend Rooster Martinez went to the slam poetry. We both graduated from college the same year, and I was a math major and he was an English major, and we were just like, I was working at Blockbuster and he was.
You were a math major?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You're okay. So I've known a couple of math majors in my life. And they always just freak me out because I don't understand.
It's awesome.
Your love of math. I get it, but it's math. Like you just I'm going to take even step further back because I'm always intrigued by math majors. When were you like, I want to be a math major. I want to do math for the rest of my life. Do you remember that moment?
I don't know. I always went. My parents always signed me up for like the academies. So I went to the Math and Science Academy in Austin for middle school and then for high school. So I didn't really have a choice. But then I was like, yeah, no, this is fun. I can do this.
Yeah.
And then
fun.
I went to college and I took like a multitude of different classes. I took like Italian and architecture and like all sorts of different things. And I was like, no, it's math.
Math. Okay.
I even tried to like, I was like, it's
fascinating.
Math. Yeah.
And now you do poetry.
And now I do poetry.
Is there a lot of math influence in your poetry?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think her last 29 poems are about being a teacher. So she's riding that teacher wave
So let me ask this. I've made this statement, like, I said it with all sincerity. I wasn't joking. I sincerely said it in the moment. And it was this, maybe Regan remembers, but we all were at this pool house or whatever, and we were playing pool, and I was playing pool and I sucked at it, and I made this statement. I was serious. I said it with, I wasn't joking. I said, man, I don't understand why I'm bad at pool. I'm so good at math. Genuinely dumbfounded why I wasn't good at pool, I'm excellent at math is what I said. Have you said something equally ridiculous in a real conversation?
No, I was in Vegas. And I was like, wow, because I actually have 2 degrees. One of them's in mathematics and the other one's in statistics. And I was in Vegas.
Oh, you should be running the game.
And I was losing all of my money. And I was like, how am I this bad?
You should be counting cards. What are you?
And then I had a lot to drink right before. Like, I gave my money to a friend and I was like, I'm going to get drunk. Take my money and do not give it to me because I'm going to be drunk and think that I can like win the whole casino. And then as soon as I had a few drinks, I was like, give me my money. And he's like, okay. And like handed it
You're
to
like,
me.
You're like, no, wait, guys. I got this.
I lost.
I figured it all out.
Of it. In Vegas.
All right,
I was like, I should be really good at this.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
And you don't drink though, Jess, right?
No.
So you don't have that excuse.
I had zero excuse, and I was really dumbfounded. Like, I don't understand this. I'm really excellent at math.
Yeah, no, that just goes to the whole hand-eye coordination thing.
Yeah, yeah, and then it went down a different level. I'm good at fucking Lunar Pool. Why aren't I good at this? You're in Lunar Pool for the Nintendo? Oh, I'm so good at that. I can't play real pool for shit though.
Neither can I. If it helps at all, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Okay, makes sense.
Now, also, do you have a slam name or what, poet name or tag name?
She has a slam name.
Yeah, don't ever tell somebody else to sign you up on a list because they'll like come up with a name for you.
And then,
like, you're just like, put my name on the list. And they'll be like, okay, this is what it's going to be.
And
like,
what was it?
It's Crazy Face.
Crazy face. That's your slam name.
Yeah, don't yell at someone to put your name on the list, I guess, is what I should
crazy
say.
Face.
Like, sign me up. Yeah.
And that's stuck?
Oh, it's stuck, yeah.
Apparently.
That's how it works.
I even have we even invented an emoticon for it. It's like a semicolon and a dollar sign. So that's...
Crazy face. That's pretty sweet that you got your own emoticon.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So everybody gets their theme song. And so if I tell Donnie 1 week, hey, Crazy Face gets this song, the next week Donnie goes, who is this? I go, oh, it's Crazy Face. You know, so whatever you sign up first, you will stay that forever.
Wow.
So we won't let you change if we can do anything about it.
Fantastic. So that's what you're known as, right? Just people just, hey, what's up,
yeah,
crazy face?
And I always forget that that's what I'm known as. So people like, well, like after Slam, someone will come up and be like, hey, crazy face. And I'm like, who?
Like, like, would you just, what? What?
Because you only announce it like whenever I go up, which is like once a night because I never get out of the first round. So, yeah. So it's like once a night. That's the only time I'm ever referred to it as that. And then like the rest of my life, I'm Sarah. So whenever you're like, hey, crazy face, I'm like, who?
Do your, actually, both of you, do your students know that you guys do poetry slam stuff?
Yeah. Yes. Mine, mm-hmm. like one or two a year, find out that I'm Shaggy outside of school and they'll start calling me Shaggy in class. We have parents who come to the slam.
Yeah, that's fun.
One of the kids in my class, both parents came out and spent, they were there till 1:30 till we closed. Nice. Now every two,
not
every,
watching their kids.
Not watching their kids. Exactly. All three of their kids are running around crazy somewhere. And now on Wednesday mornings when they show up, they give Sarah a really hard time about getting drunk every Tuesday
they
night.
Yell
so.
Really they know, loudly huh? on purpose. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, hey, Sarah, how are you this morning?
Like, I don't like it.
Patting her on the back. And
so they know your routine.
And then the kid, I have older kids. And so they also like root for, you know, like the next day they'll come in and be like, so what place did you get? And I'm like, well, there were 12 poets and I probably got like 11th. And they're like,
good job.
Better than last time. And they're like trying to like slip me poems too. Like, here, just read this one next week.
Like, no, thank you.
So, no, I don't know. They're pretty good.
So you're making it sound like you don't really advance often in these rounds.
I'm just misunderstood.
You're just okay.
Yeah. It's the audience. They don't get it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because you were a math and statistics major?
I think that. Well, also we're doing like a contest right now where you have to write a new poem every week for as many weeks in a row as you possibly can. We've been doing it since like August.
No, September 1st.
There's only two of us left, and so the majority of my poems are like written. Like I get to the slam, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I'm like in the corner, like, don't talk to me. I'm writing.
So you're
this.
One of the final.
Yeah, there's two left.
There were 16 that started in September. You have to score like a minimum score, so you can't just write like.
You can't do terribly.
Yes, exactly.
Some effort.
You have to, you probably have to get like a 20 was what it started, which is a pretty reasonable score.
Mm-hmm.
You get three strikes, so it's like baseball. We have all these really strange rules. But, you know, after all this time, what, 9 months we're on now?
Mm-hmm.
And how
That's
many poems?
Hardcore.
4 a month. So we're talking close to 40 poems. Her and one other are left, and she's in first place. So she has more strikes and. So I mean, just showing up every week, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask.
My mom always taught me, just show up.
I work at a school too. I tell my students that. I was like, man, just show up every day. You'll pass. Yeah. You will pass.
Hundreds of dollars she will win just by showing up.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
So it's like $310 a stick. It's $5. It goes up $5 every week.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't get like a mulligan where you can like miss one day?
Yeah, we have three.
One of your strikes.
Okay, those are the strikes. Okay.
So I haven't missed a single week since.
And then you also had a chance to earn strikes by getting a perfect 30. She actually has 4 strikes.
Yeah.
She's Calvin ball this motherfucker.
So she's Calvin balling it.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah.
Well, that is really amazing. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Because when you came to promote your book, the Kill the Flowers.
Yeah, that was on the 52. First time we did it was that.
Kill the Flowers project, which was all about making it so you wouldn't do the same poem every single time. And so that's why I do that.
Yes.
That's a challenge.
And I actually didn't really perform before that contest. I was an audience member for about 5 years. I think the quinceañera was like probably one of the first places that I performed.
Oh.
And so, they were like, you just got to write a new poem every week. And I was like, I can do that. Like, I can't compete. Like, and then that's the thing too, is I don't feel like I compete against people who have like these polished pieces that they've practiced for like years and years. And I was like, no, if we're all in the same playing field and we all wrote our poem like an hour ago, I got this.
Nice.
Like, I'm better on my feet.
That is a very good accomplishment, and we're rooting for you to win it all.
Yes.
All right.
Nice.
Yes. We are actually. No.
You're impartial. He's impartial.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Of course, there's all sorts of impartiality when you're judging poetry, right?
Yes.
Or hosting. He's the host.
I am the host.
He has to be.
So
impartial.
I have no skin in this game.
How, now, how long have you been hosting?
Too Jake? Long.
I know,
too
right?
Too long.
Like, yeah. I mean,
August of 2000. That was when I first started. That's when I first took over Slam. What happened was we went to Nationals as a first year team. Like Nationals is like the Olympics of Slam.
Yeah.
And we took second place in the nation. Lost by 0.1.
In 2000.
It's first time tenth. San one Antonio tenth. Had ever gone point. Yeah. 0.1.
1/10.
Yeah. 1/10 of a point. Damn. So we lost by literally the narrowest of margins. We came back and we were like, dude, this is awesome. And we didn't think we were going to make it out of like, you know, the first round. And the finals was New York City versus New York City versus New York City versus San Antonio, you know? Heck so yeah. It was like, it was literally yeah. most of the audience was for us. Cause the rest, everybody else was like, you know, F New York City. Even though we were in Rhode Island at the time, but, so we get back and the guy who started the Slam, who was hosting at the time, got really, really pissed because Express News did not write an article congratulating us and The Current did not write an article congratulating
Sounds
us.
Sounds about
so
right.
So he wrote all, but he wrote these nasty letters to them, like calling them out and like saying, you know, you gotta represent, you gotta support. Man. And we're like, you know, we're not there. We're like, we're happy, man. We won money, you know, we got on a final stage. At the after party, we got drinks and, you know, it was like, we're good. Not mad people. And so we got in a big fight and he left town. And so I was like, it was like, I got an email, like I think an email, 2000 email was around. I got a phone call, I got something on a Monday night going, hey, I'm done. Slam's over. I'm leaving. And I was like, well, no, I'm going to take it over. So I kind of stepped in the next night and have been doing it ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
So just a couple of years later is when we were introduced to you and we met. So.
When we moved to Sam's, because we moved to Sam's. We were at El Toro. No, we were at the Reverb or El Toro back then. Oh, we moved to Sam's in like late 2001. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Sam's Burger Joint.
And we're still around too.
Yeah. And you guys were leaving Cafe Latino, right?
Yeah.
Right? You guys were at Cafe Latino.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't have room for us.
Who'd have known that we'd still be around doing this, Shaggy?
Yeah, Cafe Latino would be long.
Still doing this.
Exactly.
But I think it's... I think
doing different things, though. I mean, we're still doing the thing we do, but then you guys are making movies and doing this, and I got a play now going.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
it's like, you're writing a book?
Writing a book, exactly. Yeah. So
like, that's awesome.
It's been good San Antonio people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right here.
Ditto.
Yeah. Sarah's going to be winning.
You're going to win $300.
She's making the most money out of any of us, but you know, we're still doing it.
So. Theoretically.
Yeah.
You're earning it.
Statistically. No.
Yeah.
If you're going to break it down by hours, though, mathematician, how much have you
been? Oh, no. I don't want to do that. That'll be really depressing.
Because you did it an hour before the performance
time. True. You didn't really put in that much work.
That's true. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The pain and the strife and the bloody knuckles from just straight up writing and just,
But there was the thinking, I have to write my poem all week. Like, every, like, you know, I'd have, like, a free moment. I'd be like, oh, I have to write my poem. I'm going to go watch TV.
You're going to go research.
Yeah, I was doing research.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
I did that when I was writing with my best friend, Athena, at the time. We were like, we had a project of our own where we read each other's poetry over the phone. But it was like the goal was to have 5 pieces before the week passed. And I'd do the same thing where I wrote something that I thought was like well thought out. I spent time on. And then the night before or sometimes the night of, I'll be like, and like jot down like 4 rinky dink ones. And a lot of the poetry, I was working at Shamrock, they had those, the credit card slips, the ones you actually have to do the manual, like slide over, you know, before like the whole, you know, where you slide them. So there's a shitload of those. I'm old. And I wrote I have a shitload of poems written on those slips because they're like 2 pages and like it's the perfect amount. I know like my beginning, middle, and end has to be on these 2 sheets. It was super the perfect thing of like stopping it. And I run out of room and then it would be very serial killer writing on the very edges of it.
He was the gas station poet.
I was a gas station poet. I have a whole binder this big of like of junk.
Yeah, let me know when you want to come feature and we'll set something up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially if you can read them off of your credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
That would be pretty.
Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
That would be like time traveling.
It would be
a history lesson.
Maybe a history lesson for me because I wouldn't know what my state of mind was when I wrote that. Because it really is like, it would be like, where was I thinking? What did this mean? It would be me interpreting my own words.
Sorry, I wrote this?
I'm like, what? But I bet you I probably could decipher what it meant. Like, I probably did. Maybe. I don't know.
Have you guys ever had a strictly comedy based poetry slam where the funniest ones.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. One of my favorite poetry slams that we ever did that I like was in pain the whole night was Don't Quit Your Day Job Slam, and it was the lowest score was going to win. The lowest score got out of the first round, and then lowest score got out of the second round, and the lowest score won.
Get all zeros. If your score was a zero, if you were so bad that you couldn't even get a point one, you were disqualified.
Yeah.
So you had to be bad enough to not be horrible.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And yet, if you were really funny, legitimately funny, you generally got high scores.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah.
Amanda was so mad because she got like the highest score. Oh, and then that was the other thing too. The heckles were like, this poem is so good. I love this poem. Everyone get this poem a really high score so that like you could like sway the judges to like, yeah.
And that's what I love about poetry slams is you're allowed to heckle.
Mm-hmm. And I won that one, by the way.
You're not allowed in all of them. As I have found out as social media has expanded to all reaches of the United States.
Like, oh.
I get in a lot of Facebook debates about a lot of things, but I get in a lot of Facebook debates about heckling at a poetry slam because some people find it completely disrespectful and uncalled for and think that we have something that should not be called a slam or art.
Wow.
Which makes me embrace it even
absolutely,
more.
Absolutely, man.
They don't like us at Nationals.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Oh, yeah. If you can't handle it, man.
They put out like a thing called the Tattler. You know, there's a old English newspaper called the Tattler. So they put out the Tattler at the National Poetry Slam. And one year they had a list of trigger warnings. Trigger warnings are big in universities and, the trigger warning list, it was 25 things. And number one was rape. Number two was incest. Number 19 said, Puto Slam. This was at a national level, and none of us, I think, were even there at the time. And
that's awesome.
That was, I think, one of the proudest moments.
Absolutely. An institution is a trigger warning.
Exactly. That's so well. That is fantastic.
Other slams have like features every week. They have someone like an out of town poet lined up to come and perform, and no one will come through San Antonio. I think the last time we had one was like 2 years ago, and it was like these two guys, and they tried to do like a feature together, and they said that like halfway through their second poem, the one guy turns to the other guy and goes, I think we're done. And the other guy was like, no, we can't let them win. And so they said it was the hardest thing they've ever done, that they had traveled the entire country, they had performed, they'd competed on the national level. They said the hardest thing was to feature at.
And they were not any good.
Honest. No.
And the first poem was like, one guy did a line, he goes, wait, rewind. And then he said it again, and right then, like half the audience. I think one woman even was like, sit down and shut up.
Yes.
Some like woman who's never heckled in her life. It was all of a sudden.
And that's funny.
Down.
And the most base heckle, shut up, sit down. I think that's what hurts most, the heckles that are just the most base.
Visceral.
just the most base statement. Stop.
Was it Tom Rhodes? He's a stand up comic. His favorite way of heckling is just going, nuh-uh. After someone says something, which is the simplest, thing to ever say.
Worst.
It's like, so I was driving to New York. Nuh-uh. And it just throws people. It's a brilliant, simple heckle.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's better than ours. We just jail 100 yelling out, white girls.
Yeah. Oh, that's no white matter, girls. Yeah.
Take off that silly hat.
Yeah, white girls is this signature heckle. The first time he ever did it was when this poet and did a piece about albino abuse in Tanzania. So it was about how in Tanzania they think albinos are witches and they sacrifice and they're horrible things. So the woman's doing this poem and it's horrible. I mean, it's a great poem, but it's a horrible poem because it's true.
Yes.
And she gets to this silent part and he goes, white girls. It was just like half the crowd lost their shit in laughter. The other half just walked out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just one of those moments
where
it was like, all right, I'm okay with this.
Yeah. No, that's great, man. Cause to me, that is like you said, obviously those two dudes weren't good. And the great mixture of Puto Slam and slam poetry is it's art and performance. It's performance art at the same time. How you are as a performer is just as good as how good is your writing, which I think is fantastic. So if you're not putting it out there as a performer, you're not going to get the respect of the audience. And it's just like, it's the same thing for stand-up comedy. Whenever we do shows that it's like a rowdy crowd, the mission is, if you can get everybody to pay attention, not even laugh, but if you can just get them to pay attention, you've won. And so, yeah, man, they deserve that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like with music. My whole thing is I come from a music. I'm a music fan. I go to see concerts. Mm-hmm. My money is spent on shows, not on stand-up comedians. Sorry, guys. But that's my interest. And, like, nobody's ever gone on mic and said, hey, guys in the bar, stop talking. The band's on stage.
Exactly.
You know, but there are bands I see locally where nobody in the bar is talking because they want to listen. Why is that any different for poets or, you know, stand-up comics? You're more in line with rock shows than you are poets because people do heckle and people do give a little more aggression. It's okay to be aggressive towards stand-up comedians, especially on a local, smaller level. And that's the way it should be for poets. Improve. Get better. Make me shut up.
Control the audience.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do your job.
Yeah. Do your job. Absolutely. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming here today. We're going to start off the show by jumping into Jess's topic.
All right. So, hey, everybody. It's time for another exciting installment of Yeah, we'll look into that, a segment where I talk about movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, yeah, I'm going to look into that. So, this week, we're talking about the movie called The Lobster. And the premise of The Lobster is that it's in this dystopian future. It's a science fiction dark comedy. It's this dystopian future where single people are forced to basically find a romantic partner, I guess presumably to mate. And they have 45 days to make a connection with somebody. And if they don't make the connection within 45 days, they're forced to be turned into an animal of their choice and released into the wild. If they don't find somebody. So in 45 days, if they don't romantically connect and marry somebody or sexually engage with somebody, they're like, okay, you get released in the wild as an animal, but it's an animal of your choice. I don't know why, because I don't want to read too much into it. I don't want to spoil the movie for myself, but I thought the premise was pretty interesting. It's starring Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz and a bunch of other like little familiar faces from different movies. The director is Greek. He has this movie called Dogtooth that's on Netflix that's been in my queue since I've gotten Netflix, and I still haven't watched it. It's supposed to be like a really great movie, and shame on me for not seeing it because apparently it's really good and mildly disturbing. But this movie really piqued my interest because the premise is just pretty out there.
And it's called
The Lobster.
So we can only presume that.
Well, that's Colin Farrell's choice. They ask him, like, what are you going to become if you don't find somebody? He says, I want to be a lobster.
So you were asked that before.
Yeah, they prep you. Okay. And they actually, like, the whole process of this happening is at this hotel. You're placed in this hotel, and you have 45 days to make this happen in a hotel where they actually have, like, I guess something like akin to speed dating, where they have like almost a room full of like women, and then men try to court them and overcome their social awkwardness or whatever. And they basically have the tools presented them to make a connection, but you know, like, so does it happen or not? Whatever. There's also this extra thing that I thought was really weird, was that the spare time, like, what do you do in this hotel beyond trying to hook up with people? The leisure time is that people go hunting, and they go hunting for what they call loners. And loners are people that are in the hotel that don't want any part of this system, and they escape out into the wilderness. And so you, as a person in the hotel participating, you go out and you hunt them, and not to kill them, but they like trank them, and then they wrangle them back into the hotel to put them back into, like, hey, you need to find somebody or turn into an animal. That's the deal, you know? So the movie's main character, Colin Farrell, he's showing up at the hotel with this dog who's actually his brother. His brother was turned into this dog. And so, and the dog looks like, I think the whole thing is the dog like knows, like, hey, that's my brother. The dog knows.
He does know. Okay.
Like, I think the dog knows that what he is. Like, I used to be this guy's brother, and now I'm with him at this hotel. Wow. And now I'm trying to find a connection. So it looked very charming, very funny, but also very kind of a little dark, a little weird. Like, what in this future, why is this a requirement? And what is the, why is it like you get to choose what animal you want to be turned into, released into the wild? Like, that's actually very specific. Like, they don't just turn you an animal. They release you into the wild. And if they release you into the wild, I'm like, oh, well, what about Colin Farrell's brother. Like, he's not in the wild anymore. It's like his buddy. It's like his dog. Like his friend.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really...
That's the sequel is going to be a movie where there's a... It's a buddy animal movie where there's a dog and a lobster that are mysteriously best friends and end up, like, sparking a thing on YouTube to where, like, oh my gosh, watch this hilarious lobster dog...
I would love the poster of that, of like just this dog jumping through fire with this like lobster clawed onto like its back end, like a harness or a saddle.
I'm writing that movie and,
like,
right now.
Lobster dog. That's what's like, just happen. Very simple. This very lobster, lobster dog.
And they fight crime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What else do they fight?
They gain notoriety from a funny YouTube clip.
Right.
And then they go on to
Goal is to smash the system that turned them into
animals.
They go
into the hotel.
Yeah. And like try to like crack down like
and just kill everybody.
Sure, why not?
All right, I'll watch that.
Maybe the movie takes a dark turn and that we're already stepping the gun. Hopefully, it didn't ruin the movie, because that would be hilarious if you watch this movie. I'm like, oh shit, there's a lobster and a dog are killing everybody. You're like, oh man, I didn't mean to spoil the movie, but
I'll be clapping in the theater. Yeah, if that happens.
Oh, this is awesome. They're those Greeks
just going, I called it. I called it. I called it.
Everybody's like, yeah, right. You don't have proof.
It's documented here. He called it first. Yeah. We have not seen this movie. So the lobster, it looks really super interesting. It, I think it comes out in June, and it's one of those movies that is going to be, I think, simultaneous theatrical and video on demand, meaning you could watch it on your phone or iPads or computers if it's not in your town, which is kind of nice. I'd rather see it in a movie theater, but if you can't, you can watch it on your thingy of your choice. So that looks pretty cool. So that expires the first topic for the podcast this evening, and the topic is, what animal would you like to be reborn as and why? It's a lot more simple. I wanted to kind of get into the root of, like, you know, you lived a single life and, you know, lead up to like this thing, but because I hadn't seen the movie yet, I don't understand the particulars, and also that's very awkward to put in a topic question. It's just really basic. Like, what animal would you like to be reborn as and why? I have come to the more I thought about it, it was embarrassing, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna let my weird colors fly here. I want to be a raccoon. I know, like, a raccoon doesn't sound weird, but it was the reasons why. And the reasons why is because, like, the raccoon is, like, the world's most lovable hobo. Like, being homeless is a serious thing. That's a bad thing. That's a dire thing. You don't want to be like, I want to be homeless. Like, no one wants to have that. But I think there's this hidden part of me, and the more I thought about it, this answer brought this out of my mind when I thought it was very funny. I remember being a kid, and no joke, I guess maybe it was because of Pee-wee's Big Adventure or something, I had fantasies of being homeless and on the go, like the whole like stick and little dumble bag and like you're riding around and you're on your own. Like, I, in my mind, I don't know why I thought that would, I thought that would be fun.
The road is your home.
The road is my home. Like, yeah, there's a nice little rock. I'd sleep on it. Like, you know, like I thought about like I'd see places like on the road, like, oh, like I remember going to Enchanted Rock as a kid, and I went, oh, I can sleep in there. Like, I thought, like it was cool. It was like, I can live here. Like, I live in the forest, but I didn't like camping, so it didn't make any sense. Like, it was really weird that I had this idea that I could be out on my own. So this question brought this weird thing about, like, animals, and, like, what would you be? I was like, oh, like, I like raccoons. They're awesome. And then I kind of thought, like, oh, they're the most lovable hobo, because they essentially like eat trash. Like, they just eat trash. They steal stuff.
They break, I mean,
I'm not saying that's what
houses.
Hobos do. Like, I'm like, I don't want to like say a hobo steal and eat trash, but I mean, this raccoon does. And I just thought that would be like, I'd be living out my childhood fantasy of being.
They
like
also
a
carry.
Vagabond.
They also carry the rabies virus a lot.
Yeah, but they
like hobos.
They're like hobos, but they can live to tell the tale. And they're so sneaky and crafty and just eating garbage, just eating trash and no one judging you. Because, like, when a raccoon eats trash, like, oh, look at that cute raccoon. That raccoon's eating trash. Like, he's eating, like, your garbage. But I would be selective. Good garbage. Good.
The high-end garbage.
The high-end garbage.
And they have OCD because they have to wash everything. But it's cute and it's, like, approved.
Yes.
And you're cool with that.
Yes, yes. I'm totally cool with that. Yeah, so I want to be the world's most lovable hobo. I want to be a raccoon. And then no one would judge me in my filth.
And growing up in the 80s, there were a lot of like good hobo movies.
Yes.
There was that one where Webster lived in a locker in Grand Central Station. Do you remember that?
Emmanuel Lewis
lived inside a locker in Grand Central Station. It was cute and it was adorable and he dug through trash. The Million Dollar Hobo. There was a movie with Tim with Tim Conway and Don Knotts, The Million Dollar Hobo. Like the 70s and 80s. Hobo culture was huge.
That's huge. Oh, wow. So a shout out to our great friend Kayla. Yes. Like one of her favorite movies that I told her about like in the late 80s is this movie called My Demon Lover. And the premise of this movie, and this is hilarious, talking about hobos. It was this awkward 80s chick who couldn't find a date. She couldn't cut a break. And then there's this hobo guy, this homeless guy that's playing saxophone in the street. He was handsome and is actually, I forget the actor's name, but he basically played the boyfriend and Family Ties.
Yeah, I remember this. Yes, okay. I was about to say that.
Yeah,
Nick.
I forgot his name.
Nick in Family Ties.
So he's the guy from Family Ties, and he was this handsome. He's got like kind of semi-long, you know, classic 80s dirty blonde hair. And then she's like, I like this guy. She brings him home. Like, it's like she brings this hobo home because she's romantically attracted to him.
She brings an attractive saxophone playing.
Yes. And so his secret is
home. Two different things.
His secret is that at like the quarter moon or whatever, he turns into a demon. And so like the city's rampant with all these murders. And then she suspects, oh, it's him because he's turned the demon. But spoiler alert, it's this like grody accountant who's actually the demon who's killing people. It's super 80s movie, but. Yeah, that guy was a lovable hobo. It was the first day. She's like, oh, I like him. He's great. But he's like, he's eating trash like the raccoon. And she invited him. So maybe I can be brought into somebody's home as a lovable raccoon, saxophone playing raccoon hobo.
The whole point of being a hobo in your eyes is to travel and move around. You don't want to get brought into somebody's home.
Well, it's temporary standards. No. I mean, that's how you enjoy the, I don't miss the good life. Like, oh, I can just, like, crash at somebody's house and go, oh, I haven't seen the new Daredevil yet.
You're the couch surfer,
not so much
the hobo. You're
kind of like, and I eat their trash, but they're like good food. Yeah.
Like, I got some leftover nachos. You want those?
I'm already eating them. I'm already late at
you. You didn't even warm them up.
No, I'm just a coagulated cheese. I'm eating them. Yeah, so. Yeah,
Shaggy, what would you reincarnate as our...
I had an answer originally, and then when I found out what it was based on,
me too.
Are other people gonna pick? Am I still in Texas? Like, am I surrounded by my neighbors? Like, where am I gonna? Where is
that?
This
was
wildlife?
One of the first questions that was brought up was, do we still retain our previous knowledge? Like, I guess
and
talk about the dog.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to say you do,
because I don't trust other people, so that makes me want to be a little more aggressive and defensive. But my go-to was a turtle.
Ah, okay.
Because I like the turtle lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of the kind of a hobo-ish in that there's not much work involved.
Yeah.
You know, no big hurry to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. Got my home on my back, you know, so I really can't go anywhere. And plus, years ago when I was following the Grateful Dead, I saw turtle ones at a show. So, not sure if it was there.
Spirit.
But it was a spirit animal. It was
You saw one.
Yeah.
But no, I saw one.
There you go.
I'm not.
Definitely saw it.
So it was a spirit animal type thing.
Did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to honor
that. Multicolored turtle floating around.
I'm going to honor that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And go with that.
In case
something happens.
Nice.
So it's my official answer.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that because my answer was a giant tortoise. So I think that first I was like, you know what? I want to be top of the food chain. I want to be like a lion or a shark. I want to be able to like take on people. But then I was like, no. I like the tortoise because I looked it up. There's one. It's 182 years old. That's like one of the oldest living animals. It's a dinosaur, man. And it doesn't need to hunt. It doesn't need to run fast. It doesn't need nothing. It goes super slow. It's not at the top of the food chain. He's like, I guess in the bottom, but not really.
Not even sure he's on it,
right?
And what animals go after the turtle? Like on a serious question, I didn't really think about this. What creatures prey on the turtle,
if
anything?
I think at one point, the thing is, you get so big, like the tortoise is so big that now there's nothing that can hurt it. Like it's lived long enough to where it just, if anything comes around, it just tucks into his shell. And it's like, I'm just going to wait here until you get bored and go away. Cause some lions can, and some other like bears can like try ripping smaller ones apart or just kind of gnawing through them. But if you get to a certain point, Ain't nobody going to mess with you. And I was like, that'd be kind of cool. And if I get to retain my knowledge sticking around for 100 years, I mean, that turtle's 182 years, so it's been through some crap. Like, it's seen some stuff and heard some tales, and it's got tales to tell. And like,
yeah, and plus whatever your memories before you being a turtle.
Exactly. I'd be able to carry that along. And like you said, I didn't even think about, like, yeah, I got my home on my back, man. You know, just it's a mobile home. Yeah. Just pick up, take off.
RV lifestyle.
Yeah. Just stay in, you know, all I got to do is make sure to stay, you know, below the equator, around the equator line, keep things a little bit warm, and I should be good to go. Ain't nobody going to mess with me. No. So, giant tortoise.
Yeah. The only threat is six-pack rings.
And raccoons.
and raccoons. Yeah. Six-pack rings and raccoons.
They're now edible, though. Six-pack rings are now edible.
Oh, they are.
So, yeah. They're going the edible route.
Okay. That's happening. So.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
Sarah.
What dang, I totally was going to pick a turtle too, but then when he explained that you might be able to retain your information, for whatever reason, I changed it to a monkey, because I feel like I would want to probably run. I like to move. Like, if I didn't know anything else, then I would just totally love the, like, just the slow and steady, like, lifestyle. But no, if I've already, like, lived this life, I totally want to be a monkey, because I feel like it would be as close. I could still pass for a human, I think, if I was a monkey.
You're
like,
certainly charming as one, for sure. Yeah,
I could still.
Okay. More than.
So not like.
I could go, like, to the grocery store.
Oh, so you're
like,
still you're wanting to live the human life as a monkey.
I could still eat chips. Like, just there's a lot of things.
Okay. I like you were just going to enjoy the freedom of swinging through the trees. But you would have gone directly.
I'm afraid of heights, so I just.
You would have gone directly back into your life.
I would.
You could be adopted by one of those people that have monkeys as kids. Have you ever seen those people? They keep. And then like monkeys as human kids.
Yeah, and then if I did something wrong, it would be like, oh, she's just a monkey.
Oh, silly monkey.
Oh, that monkey. Like, I think it would work, so.
Wow,
that's
totally didn't see that.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the wild.
You and Jess are on that same page of like, we're going to go back into somebody's house.
We're going to reassimilate.
We're going to live the human lifestyle. We want to be on a couch somewhere.
I'm gonna, I still want hugs. I think I want hugs.
Yeah!
Who hugs a turtle?
Yeah!
Like, no one.
Nobody hugs a turtle. We stink.
No. I was gonna say, I own a turtle. Why would I want to be a turtle? Okay.
Nice. No, I like it. Yeah, that's a new perspective. Well, I ended up going the same route, I guess. I'm nachos. I still eat nachos.
You're released into the wild to go back to someone's trash and sneak in their house.
I was like, I love bears, but bears can't eat nachos. They don't have they don't have an accessible way to, if the bear,
hey! You'd be vegetarian, right? No eating meat.
Lettuce. I can just chew on lettuce.
Totally cool. Lettuce and stuff.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Facebook answers. Berto Garcia says he wants to be a June bug. I keep having a recurring dream in which I'm a June bug that gets caught in a bug zapper. That doesn't sound very fun.
So he wants to be the thing that he knows is going to happen. Yeah. That's very.
He wants to see his own doom.
He's learned from it. He won't go to the bug zappers.
There we go. If he retains his knowledge. Berto, stay away from the light. Gabriel Diaz says a bird so I can crap on my haters at new heights. See, that was another one of those, was like birds, so you can have the freedom. But I was like, I just want to be killed by anything. I want to be a giant tortoise. Freddie Perez says a tanuki because I would have a shape-shifting ability and a big set of hairy balls.
Oh, man, it's all about the balls. It's about the big raccoon balls.
A tanuki is like a giant bald raccoon, right?
Yeah,
tanuki. You talked about him in one show.
Yeah, tanuki is like a mystical Japanese raccoon with giant balls and he can shapeshift. That's like, for all you video game people, that's what the tanuki suit was in Mario 3.
But without the balls?
But without the balls, yeah. When you had the full raccoon suit, it wasn't a raccoon suit, it was a tanuki suit. It's because you'd hold down, you'd turn into a statue. That was...
And balls so big, like you can sit on them, like...
Yes, there's a movie, Pom Poko, it's a movie from the Studio Ghibli, and it's finally out in America, but it never made it to America because it's a movie about essentially raccoons with giant balls. But because it's not foreign to Japanese culture, they're like, oh yeah, they're tanukis, they're flying around. But as someone from an outside point of view, like, why do these raccoons have giant balls? Like, giant balls. It's great. I can get it.
Yeah. Greg Forrest says he wants to be one of his cats so that he can be a pain in the butt and get away with it. Travis K says he wants to be a sloth. It's already perfectly me, just in animal form.
Of course,
That's another one of those like.
I was toying.
You know, sloths get hugs.
Yeah, sloths get hugs. Yeah. You don't have to move fast, and they survive.
Yeah.
Albert Vasquez says a bear would be nice. Long naps and good fishing. Yeah. I could live with that. Man. Kurt Larson says a lemming, so I could finally accomplish my dream of being in a Disney film.
A lemming?
A lemming.
What?
I thought lemmings were like little, like almost like a...
They're like little...
No, those were in Madagascar, which is not Disney.
Maybe a lemur?
Oh, a lemming. Oh, he says Madagascar.
Okay. L-E-M-M-I.
Lemmings are the ones that follow each other off cliffs.
Off cliffs, yeah.
Don't fall off that cliff, though. You can still live.
Jenny Matisek says some kind of sea creature, most likely an otter, swimming all the time, plus always around my friends. Plus, they're adorable.
Yeah, they get hugs.
That's
the angle I didn't see. I'm like,
here's
people
something
love those
you definitely won't hug. Rachel Norberg says a mantis shrimp because I'd like to be a walking technicolor nightmare at the bottom of the sea. So it's bioluminescent shrimp.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Leonardo Amaro says a mountain lion because it'd be fun to freak hikers out in the backcountry. Samantha Linesreek says a palace cat because I already make this face all day and it's just a... I don't know if we can show the picture. It's just a pretty funny looking cat face. It's pretty awesome.
A palace cat?
P-A-L-L-I-S.
Oh, okay. It's the very expressive cat. Yeah, the cat with a lot of expressions. Yes.
Yeah. Very facially expressive cat.
Yeah.
Samantha makes that face all the time.
Yeah.
Justin Cooper says probably an octopus. They're just so awesome with their eight legs, diamond hard beak, and squishy everything else. Not to mention the deep, dark depths of the ocean are by far the coolest and creepiest places on the planet.
Yeah,
and they're geniuses.
Yeah, they are.
Octopuses are very, very, very smart.
Yeah.
Good call, Justin. Jessica Flowers says a feral cat, but specifically one that lives in a neighborhood so I can run around and do whatever I want. But nice people will also leave food out for me if I don't feel like hunting.
Yeah, see? You want the good life.
I have 25 of her under my house right now.
Yeah, we do too. We have a bunch of them live around here, and they live the good life.
Yeah.
You got complete freedom and food all the time.
Yeah. Maybe a case of, scabies or what do you call it? A scourge?
Mange.
Mange, yeah.
Yeah.
Scourge. That's a pirate thing. I don't know.
But you also have to deal with possums.
Skunks.
Mm-hmm. Skunks and raccoons. Sometimes raccoons.
Yeah.
And finally, Betty Garza says, the kind that goes great with a nice Pinot Noir. What?
She would want to be eaten?
I guess.
I've already lived one life. I don't want to live a second one, so don't just serve me on a platter.
She's going to be a lobster man.
I'm gonna put her in a nice nori sushi roll. That's what I'm going to do.
So there we go.
Those are Facebook
answers. As a raccoon. Yeah, my raccoon will be eating whatever she turns into some sushi that, this doesn't taste very good, but guess who's there to pick it up? Raccoon Jess.
Raccoon Jess will eat it.
Yeah, give it to Raccoon Jess. He'll eat anything. This is a total garbage disposal. He just eats trash. It's great. Speaking of eating trash, the movie The Lobster, that's, the starring Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz and a whole gander of recognizable faces and a very charming-looking movie. I definitely want to see it. So The Lobster, I'm going to look into that.
And now it's time for an episode of Dad's Cornered.
Hooray.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Yay! Unfortunately, as you know, Larry's not here for this podcast. We miss him very dearly. He is the father figure. He's not the father figure because we don't look at him as a father, but he is the only person that has a kid out of the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Shaggy, kids. Nope. Sarah, kid? No. Nope. So this is the first time, I think, on Public Access where one's had
no dads
kids.
Allowed. This is the no dad zone. Dad's Corner is no dad zone.
No dad zone. So
no dads allowed.
That's kind of interesting. This is the first time that we'll have it to where nobody has a frame of reference of what it's like to have a kid, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because Larry's topic, anybody can answer it. You don't have to have kids. So Larry, as we all know, hooray, he's got cancer.
Yeah.
And so right now he's going through a lot of tests. He's having to do a lot of different things. And one thing, of course, that he's hearing from everybody, from the actual doctors that he's dealing with to people who have gone through cancer treatment to other people who are into holistic medicine, is all about changing your diet, making sure you're eating well, making sure that you're putting healthy items inside of your body, because it's only going to make everything go better. The chemotherapy, the recovery, everything, just eating better is going to be good. So he's slowly realizing that he's not going to be able to eat the horrible, terrible things that he's so accustomed to. And so he's longing to eat these things. And so he's realizing now that soon he's going to have to be eating very, very healthy, which is good. Damn it.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better for it. But the heydays of getting to eat willy-nilly, whatever you want, are over. So he brought his topic for today. Question is, what food or food item could you not live without?
Yeah. Say goodbye to pizza and hello to grape seed.
Ugh.
I don't
flax
know.
Flaxseed.
Flaxseed.
So this
grape seed.
Yeah, goodbye grape juice. Say hello to grape seed juice.
I'm sure grape seed is a thing.
grape seed juice.
That's a thing.
It's
no. There's flax. No, there's not even a thing.
Some grapes have seeds.
Grapes don't have
seeds.
Flax isn't a thing. Flax, some guy just made that word up, and then they just called it flax seed, and now there's this stuff, and I'm pretty sure flax isn't real.
So if we just make up something and sell it as grape seed, someone will buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let me Google this. Someone's probably already got it. Someone's got this.
Get all Dr.
Right.
Oz to push right. it. Let me find out. Like the acai berry, acai berry, whatever.
Oh, man, that's the magic fruit.
Oh, yeah, acai or whatever.
Acai berry.
Acai, yeah,
that's not a real thing.
Yeah,
them just blueberries.
That's genetically made. That's some genetic shit. That's like ghost pepper
them
shit.
Them just blueberries people put a new name on. They called them acai or whatever.
I'm going to put grape seed juice. Grape seed extract, grape seed oil.
Grapes have seeds, but it's not grape
it's a cure-all.
Oh, yeah, look, it's on Amazon. Puritan's Pride grape seed. It's a jar of vitamins.
Of course. You know what else is fake? Quinoa. Quinoa is just those silica beads that they put in little, when you buy a new pair of shoes and it comes with a little packet of silica.
Yeah, because
soak them in water for about 15 minutes hot, put some salt and pepper. That's quinoa, everybody.
So if any kids are listening out there, dad says those things that come in your shoes and your backpack, soak them in water and drink it.
Okay? Incredibly protein packed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because someone said couscous is bad for you. And I'm like, I want couscous. I don't want quinoa, but quinoa could be good.
Quinoa is delicious.
But I'd rather have couscous.
It's
if I'm going to have tiny miniature-sized pearl item and shove in my mouth, I'd rather have couscous.
Yeah, quinoa is not a real thing.
Miniature pasta. I'm like, delicious. I thought it was good for you, and apparently it's horrible.
Yeah,
for
quinoa,
you.
There was just a giant factory of silica beads, and they're like, how are we going to push these? And they're like, let's just say it's a superfood that Native Americans used to eat.
With no gluten. They're gluten-free.
They are gluten-free. So silica has zero gluten in it. I don't know if you guys know that. And so they market it. Just like the guys who made giant tires were like, how are we going to get rid of all these tires? And they're like, let's get those workout people to flip them. And then next thing you know, everyone's buying giant tires.
Yeah.
Yes,
kettlebells.
Yeah, they're back in business.
There's like, what are we going to do with all these kettlebells? I don't know. Tell people to lift them. All right. That's how they do things. All right, so back to the question. What food or food item could you not live with? Shaggy, I'm looking forward to what you're going to say because you are a vegetarian. So I'll throw in my answer first. I'll throw this out there. I thought a lot about this. I eat everything. But I do love meat, but when I really think about it, I could totally go without meat. Mm-hmm. A lot of the days, if I'm eating good throughout the week, a lot of it is fruits and vegetables throughout the whole day. I do eat some jerky just for some protein. I'll have like one chicken breast for dinner. But I could totally do without it. It's more about the flavor. It's more about, you know, I get it. I could do without it. But one thing I really do think that I could not live without is cheese. I do love me some cheese. Whether it's pizza, nachos, enchiladas, a lot of Mexican food, actually, there's a lot of cheese that goes on it. Just a simple bean and cheese taco. Like, oh man, I'll take that any day. Just a lot of different things. I love, love, love me some cheese. And I think if you took that away from me, that would be the tough thing to like recreate, like a grilled cheese sandwich, you know, like just all the different things that I do love about cheese. So I asked Larry specifically if it had to be a specific thing or like could it be salt? And he's like, whatever, it's open ended. So I'm saying cheese, the open sort of not specific and not mozzarella or friggin' Gouda or Havarti or whatever, all that stuff. It's all delicious. It's all wonderful. I love me a good sandwich. I love me a good anything with cheese. So my answer is cheese. That's what I cannot live without.
According to an article I saw posted on Facebook, cheese for some people is as addictive as opiates and heroin.
Interesting.
And that some people have that sort of chemical makeup where it's more than just a like. You actually need it.
Ooh.
You think you go there?
No, I don't think right. so. Because once again, if I'm eating good throughout the week,
there's
I
no
won't
cheese,
do it.
Probably.
Yeah,
there's no cheese.
Exactly.
But man, do I appreciate cheese. And you know, as you grow older, colder, getting like a cheese and fruit plate, and there's some softer cheeses that are kind of stronger and more pungent. Like, oh, I don't want that when you're younger. But then you get up, you get older, and you start to appreciate those things and start to taste them. And oh my gosh, they're so good. And so, yeah, I love me some cheese. Shaggy, what do you got?
Mine is boring. I'm not a foodie. I'm not into food. Okay. I've never been into food. I'm a simple eater.
And that's why so you're vegetarian, so svelte, by the way.
And being vegetarian is easy for me because I don't really miss anything.
Okay. But
the one thing I can't is I would go with the opposite of your cheese. It's the bread. I couldn't give a bread.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can put, okay. I can eat bread all the time. I can put anything on bread. Tortillas, yeah. Bread.
Okay. So
I mean rolls. If I had to eliminate tortillas and stick just with bread, I can go bread.
So, okay,
just sliced bread. If that's all, I can limit myself to any kind of bread. I love bread.
Sliced bread.
I will. Yeah. Now, I will go as specific as sliced.
Do you eat just a sliced? Like, can you do? Are you one of those people that you'll just eat a slice of bread?
Yes.
Wow.
If I'm running late in the morning, I grab three slices and I eat it on the.
Are you just plain
sliced bread? Oh yeah.
So that the saying,
eat the crust first.
The best thing is sliced bread. Really?
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. I love that. Ooh, there's nothing. I mean, if somebody says it's the best thing since sliced bread, I will check it out. And it's never happened. They've always been wrong. So
sliced bread, much better. Bread.
Is that why you used to give away bread as a prize at Slam? Or like first place one?
Oh yeah, because somebody will usually give me some slices. Or usually they don't want it. They're like, I don't want this. I got some bread. I just go to Family Dollar and whatever I see that I like, I buy. Those are the prizes. That's the thought that goes into it.
Now, do you have a brand specific like type bread that you go after?
No.
Or no. So no, you don't like you go to H&M.
I'm not a bread connoisseur. not a loyalist. I just like bread.
Not a loyalist.
So, but I'm saying you don't have your ritual, like the one that, because I guess it's going to sort of like what my topic is later, but like there's not one the same.
I will buy a different one every time.
What?
So one time I'll buy the 98 cent H-E-B.
You're a madman.
The next time I will buy the 218 whatever.
What the hell?
Yeah, the Mrs. Bear.
With walnuts in it.
Yeah, with a little
Do you go
nuts.
Rye? Do you go?
I'll go white, rye, sourdough.
You're a crazy man.
I just love bread. There's a place in Fredericksburg, the town of Fredericksburg, and on Saturday and Sundays, it's like a bread store, and they have like 87 locations of free little bread samples that you can walk around
nice,
and take with like butter at every other one.
Oh, so, that's heaven for you.
Yeah, we went there one. It was one of the best.
Actually, that sounds pretty awesome. Life. I would totally.
It was
yeah.
awesome. It
yeah, because bread is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, bread is fantastic. Fresh bread.
Going to Europe was one of the greatest things because French, they really have all those little, just go buy a fresh roll of bread, walk down the street and just chomp on it.
It was always, I thought it was funny how people really do walk around with baguettes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you really do that. Yeah. They're not just making fun of you. You really just walk around with baguettes sticking out of your bag. Yeah,
and I understand why.
Yeah, nice. All right,
bread,
Jesse.
I have tried the multitude of different types of diets. Meaning, like, I tried to do vegan for a period of time, and it was in like even like Whole 30 or whatever. And this wasn't stopping doing them. Wasn't a thing of like
what
I
is Whole 30?
It's like a I don't even know what it was. It was like a like almost like a tier system. It was like ABC. And A being the most purest of foods, it had meat in it, but it had to be specific types of meat. And it was almost like you want to eat tier A foods all the time, but if you need to cheat, quote unquote, you can slip into B. And C is like when you really want to cheat, but C was like
C is
wheat
like
bread.
Banana Twins. Or...
No. Oh. C is like wheat bread.
Oh God!
That's the C. Like the cheat food is wheat bread.
Oh well, it's just the thing that Shaggy goes through first.
Shaggy
all about cheat days,
and it wasn't and vegan. Like skipping out meat, I actually didn't miss meat. Like I could do without meat. Like, I found out, I was like, oh, this is gonna be tough. But there's so many great creative substitutes for meat, and I love them. Like I could get down on that. But ultimately, I love all kinds of foods, and none of those things stick. So through all of that, I realized that the one component that was in all of them was potatoes. Mm. So to me, potatoes, I think, is the thing where it's like, I need that component in there. And like even potatoes at its most root with nothing on them, like if they're baked, like a baked potato with no salt, I can eat that and go, oh, this is good because the skin has all these like nutrients and it's just like, I mean, it's better when you throw like a fucking, a hamburger in a baked potato or whatever.
Chopped brisket.
We have a chopped brisket baked potato, like at the mall baked potatoes. But just a regular raw baked potato, Did you see The Martian? Did you see the
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I can eat a potato for however in science the shit out of potatoes. Like, I can do that. He's like, oh, I'm tired of potatoes. I'm like, oh, no, I'm all about it. Ran out of ketchup, no problem. So to me, yeah, potatoes, I think, is the component that was in all the different diets that were there. It was always there. Bread is so close. I think bread is – it's like practically an answer too, because bread – like bread's the thing that I really like. Oh, I can't not have bread. You can substitute cheese and meat, but then you put it on the bread. Like, so yeah, so definitely potato for me.
Potatoes. Bread.
Bread.
Cheese. Sarah, what do you got?
So for Lent every year, I try to like give up different things. And I've given up meat before. And yeah, it's not a huge deal. And I've given up alcohol and I've given up like all sorts of things. One year I gave up pizza for Lent and it was the longest 40 days of my entire life. I didn't even know, like I didn't even realize it. Because it took me a couple of years, too, because like, I'm always like waiting until the last minute. It's like, oh, no, it's, you know, Lent started. What should I give up? Okay, what haven't I eaten today? I've already had pizza. So I had to wait until like I planned ahead. I think I've eaten pizza like pretty much like a good 80% of my life, I think, has been.
And it has
eating,
all those components we talked about. Yeah. Bread,
yeah,
meat,
I was
potatoes.
Thinking about it. I was like, I don't know. Well,
potatoes. I've had a mashed potato pizza before.
No, yeah, sometimes you can put french fries.
IGB has one of their pizzas is a potato and spinach and cheese.
There's so many different variations, really too. Well, and I'm like a huge, huge fan of marinara sauce. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, so I'll dip my pizza in marinara sauce. That's why I love going to Cece's, because I just get the bowl of marinara.
Don't even start me with Cece's.
I'll dip all of them into, but it's my all-time favorite. Like, I can't. And then I've tried like diets too and stuff where they'll have like, oh, you can do this and this and this. And I'm like, well, where's pizza on that? And they were like, oh, yeah, I know. Instead of like crust, you can try like cauliflower.
Yeah, the cauliflower like, pizza. I've seen that.
I haven't tried it. But like I said, like my all time favorite part of the pizza is like the marinara sauce. And so everything else, you know, like I'll eat pizza without cheese. So I haven't tried the cauliflower pizza, but it definitely has to be.
Wait, you say cauliflower pizza is the crust, the cauliflower?
You blend it up and then you mat it down.
Cheesecloth. Oh. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I just saw a video because I just watch pizza videos.
No, I get what you do. No, that makes total sense. Yeah.
Who doesn't watch pizza videos?
Yeah. Yeah. I watch cake videos, so yeah, I get it. Cake videos.
Yeah, they have an entire show. Like, they have TV shows on cake.
Yeah, about cake.
Stuff.
I don't like cake competitions, but yeah, like right now, one of my favorite YouTube channels is How to Cake It. It's this
How to Cake It.
This Canadian cake maker. She makes these beautiful cakes, and I'm like, oh, and then she's making meringue buttercream, and then she's got to squeeze sugar syrup on it, and it takes 12 hours to make this layered cake, and it looks like a giant teapot, and I'm like, oh, yeah, and it's like, I love it. It's, I don't even eat that much cake, but I get down to cake videos. It. Oh, yeah.
Shaggy, what videos do you watch? What food videos do you
watch? I never have.
What? You don't watch bread videos?
We like hugs and we watch
and snack videos. Yeah, and I've talked about it before.
And videos. Food.
Yeah, that's when I did the video sketch, Snacks and Jackson's Food Domination. It's based off a dude who makes videos where he eats fast food in his car and he rates it like it's food, but it's just this big dude who likes to eat cheeseburgers in the car. And he was like, I do the same thing during lunch. I could get down this, but snack videos.
Nothing wrong with that.
And did you know that McDonald's used to sell pizza, but they don't anymore? I'm like waiting for that to come back.
What?
So, yeah, that didn't last very long.
Yeah, like I think the 60s. Was it?
I think they tried to bring it back
in
the 90s.
I saw like a McDonald's timeline one time and I was like, pizza? So I just like get stuck in
there. They might have it in different markets. They might have it like in Italy and stuff. Because when I went to Japan, I had to get the Japanese McDonald's experience. And the thing they had there that they need to bring over here is fish nuggets.
They were called fish McBites.
Oh, fish McBites.
I don't know if you remember those.
They had this one.
They were awful.
They had this the wasabi, like, you know, for the chicken nuggets, they had dipping sauce, but they had like a wasabi dipping sauce for the nuggets. I always went fucking buck wild because it was still McDonald's. That's what's hilarious. Like, it was still McDonald's. They had teriyaki burger and it was delicious, but it was still McDonald's burger.
It's super processed.
I went to Rome one time and they had the swankiest McDonald's. It had like a plaque and everything. And you walk in like on the bottom floor and it's like a rainforest. There's like trees and like a waterfall. It was super awesome. No, then you go in an elevator and you go up and it opens up and it's a McDonald's.
I was going to say.
Like, now,
and then you order your food and you're like, oh, it's downstairs. A McDonald's.
We didn't order food. We just wanted to like be like at the swankiest McDonald's. Yeah, but then like you went upstairs and it was like, it's just a McDonald's. It had like a rainforest underneath it.
That's beautiful.
Still McDonald's.
Beautiful place to
eat. They know what they're doing.
McDonald's. So real quick, favorite pizza ever.
Nice.
Oh, I don't even have a favorite pizza.
Go-to pizza spot?
Or even a frozen pizza?
You can say CeCe's because that's...
not CeCe's. I was really excited when like Domino's did their whole like new thing with like the crust and stuff. I really like... You know what's really funny is I actually completely just blanked on my favorite pizza spot. It used to be on Bandera and then it closed down, but now it's outside of 16... I'm on the spot.
Which one was that? It wasn't Goombas, was it?
Yes, Goombas. Okay. I love Goombas.
Yeah, Goombas moved around.
Yeah. Goombas is probably my favorite. Yeah.
Good pizza.
Yeah, I've been like traveling with it.
Follow them around.
I'm like, oh, here's another one. And then it's gone. And I'm like, what's wrong with people?
What's wrong with their business?
That's they don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Facebook answers. Berto Garcia says kimchi soup.
Ugh. Kimchi soup. That's the thing they can't live without?
Apparently.
That's got to be good. I mean, I'm going to try it.
I don't know if that's a real answer.
I'm going to try it.
You're just messing with you, so you'll try it.
Kimchi is awful. I mean, it's not awful, but in very small amounts. Soup of kimchi.
It depends on what kind of kimchi it is.
Sarah Sharp says, cheeseburgers. Doesn't matter from where. Ground beef keeps me from going back to vegetarianism.
Yeah.
Gabriel Diaz says, combo fried rice with fried dumplings from anywhere. So it's nice that cheeseburgers from anywhere, fried rice and dumplings from everywhere. Freddie Perez says chili cheese dogs. Oof.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He can't live without chili cheese dogs.
That's one thing I can easily.
Chili. Oh, that's a close second. That's a close second.
I'm surprised at how specific all these answers are. Consider like ours are cheese, bread, potatoes, pizza. I still get. But chili cheese dogs. Like, how many chili cheese dogs do you eat to where, like, you can't live without.
Yeah, and that's weird. I can't even do, like, I'm not even into hot dogs. I don't know what age I was like, I'm not even into hot dogs anymore. And
I'm okay with them.
And it's not even the whole, they're like a pig's ass or anything like that. It's just that I don't know what it is. I just grew out of it.
Where do you go get them? Sonic, right?
Chili cheese dog?
You only go to Sonic.
Yeah. Or Wiener Schnitzel if they're going around.
Down. Yeah,
they all close down. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they're terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever.
But pretty much every, like, Chicago hot dog stand or, like, you know, restaurant in San Antonio has a chili cheese dog.
Yeah.
Gas stations. Well, you're making your own chili cheese dog at that point in time.
Yeah.
Where it's that canned chili just stewing.
No, when your chili's coming out of a drink dispenser thing that you push the button and it goes.
I'm just sitting here like,
that's how I want my chili.
I'm stopping by the gas station.
And the cheese. From the dispenser right next to it.
Yeah. Why not?
That's marvelous.
Juan Carlos Pelias, JCP says beans and rice. There we go. Beans and rice because that goes with a lot of different meals. Yep. That'd be tough if you took that out.
That's a component. Yeah.
It's two foods.
Greg Forrest says canned fish. I think I'm already turning into one of my cats. So he was the one who answered cats earlier. Canned fish? What? Like tuna? Is that what you call tuna? Like tuna fish
salmon.
Is technically
sardine.
Yeah. Right? Or so
oysters, fried oysters.
Why? I think that's
canned
so
oysters?
Funny.
Canned fish? Because that's like a hobo kind
of answer. I was just about to say, you know who loves canned fish? Raccoons.
And hobos.
Hobos and raccoons.
It lasts forever in your backpack, in your rucksack.
With or without crackers. I'll eat them all.
Oh, God.
Canned fish.
I don't know
why. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Canned fish.
Albert Vasquez is a properly whole roasted chicken is what I live for.
Properly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I get it. I totally get it.
You can get those easily. HEBs and like Sam's. They just sell them right in the front. Even Walmart has a properly cooked.
Yeah, even a subpar roasted chicken's like, all right. Yeah,
I can eat one of those in one sitting.
Yeah, sure thing.
Travis K says, Sarah's already hit the nail on the head for me. I love me some cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
But my backup answer would be pizza. Yeah. I mean, it's basically an Italian cheeseburger anyway, right?
What?
What came first, the pizza or the burger?
Pizza burger. Jenny Matisek says macaroni and cheese. I don't know if it's a Wisconsin thing, but it's always my go-to comfort food.
Yeah, definitely.
Rachel Norberg says breakfast tacos. Mm-hmm. If I don't find any halfway decent breakfast tacos soon, very bad things will happen. They will be much whining. She just moved to Washington, D.C.
Good luck.
And she, no wonder she liked, I just posted a picture of four breakfast tacos earlier.
Good luck.
Victoria Acevedo says, give me a bean, bacon, and cheese tacos, or give me life without constipation. That was totally worth it. So she loves herself some bean, bacon, and cheese tacos.
Another specific.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Leonardo Amaro says, chilaquiles. That's my. Love me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to eat this once a week. Santos by Nimitz are my favorite. So go by a place called Santos by Nimitz. I love me some migas and chilaquiles also. I love that. Samantha Landrink says, steak. Medium rare. I don't have to have it every day, but at least once every few weeks, I need a slab of bleeding carcass to fulfill my carnivorous desires.
Yeah.
And Judson Cooper says, pizza. It's just so versatile and delicious. So there we go.
Yeah, pizza's good.
What food items could they live without?
Oh, man.
Canned fish.
Canned fish is...
That wins. That wins.
And that's a dad thing. That's like that's something Larry would like.
Canned fish.
We gotta ask him, like, what are your thoughts on canned fish? And he's like, oh, I like it. He's a dad.
My dad used to eat canned fish. Like,
canned fish is where there's tuna,
I don't know
right?
It's a dad thing.
Tuna is canned fish.
Yeah.
Tuna can be canned fish. We're like, but I eat my tuna out of a aluminum pouch. It's a little more sophisticated than a can. But it's still raccoon food. I'm still eating chopped up fish just because they put lemon and herbs in it or some shit like that. Like, it doesn't make it any better. But I think canned fish, I think of that, like, that Swedish smelly fish thing, I forget what it's called, but that giant big can, and it supposedly smells really bad, and it's like really awful. Oh, I forget what it's called. There's like videos of
people
eating
it.
It's super awful, but just even something like, not even that gross, but like sardines or something like that. That's straight up some raccoon food. I love it. I mean, I don't love it, but I just love the idea of it.
So, yeah, Larry, we love you. We miss you. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to eat all the terrible things. Hopefully, you still get to eat what you want, Larry.
Yeah, it's every once
Hopefully
in a while.
Hopefully, you still get you to eat what
him.
You want.
We're going to treat him every once in a while.
But you know who always gets to eat whatever they want are people without kids. People without kids get to eat whatever they want. They can go out at 10 p.m. and eat waffles if they want to, because that's what's great about not having kids.
Yeah. And we're doing that after the show, right?
We're going to start with waffles.
Ooh, and then go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And eat something else.
So, yeah, parenting.
So, parenting. Fuck it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah.
You can eat whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fuck stupid kids. And we're like, oh, I want tater tots. I'm like, no, I want tater tots.
That's your argument.
Yeah, that's my argument. Yeah. They usually want the stuff you like. You're like, you can't have that. Well, I can have it. You go to bed and eat healthy food. Grapeseed.
All right. Now it's time for my segment that's called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about things that are not very funny. And today I'm talking about a article in Psychology Today titled Three Reasons Why Brand-Specific Rituals Are So Powerful and Why They're Worth Billions to Businesses. So they're talking – this article's talking about effects of brand-specific rituals. The three that I always threw out were like the idea of when you get an Oreo cookie, you're supposed to twist it, lick it, dunk it. There's a thing that you're supposed to do as far as with like the Corona bottles. You put the lime around the thing, stick it in. One thing they brought up was something I didn't know called the Jeep Wave. So if you own a Jeep.
So you've
heard of this.
I've heard of that, yeah. One of my friends owns a Jeep, and whenever we're driving around, he... I was like, what are you doing? He's like, you wave to people. He gets really excited.
Like, it's a thing.
He said, why are you? I don't like you.
Shaggy's cracking up.
I'm going to start waving to everybody in a Honda from now on. And I'm going to start the Honda wave.
But it's got
to
be
Rooster's brother.
There's more of us than you, so now war. Whatever.
Yeah.
So. I own a
Toyota Corolla.
So do I.
Nice.
Which
there's billions of those
out
on the streets.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's. I'm glad you've heard of the Jeep Wave.
I guess I've
never seen it, but I've heard of other people talk about. Yes, there is a thing called the Jeep Wave. So these are things that brands somehow or another over time have gotten people to understand, and it's a ritual that they do. And they're saying that there's a lot of key things that if you want to sell a product and keep it selling, and you know, as you have these rituals, they say that It's because, one, rituals encourage habitual product consumption. So you're going to want to keep doing it after you get to get that ritual down. Two, rituals lock customers into the brand's customer community. So for sure, like with a Jeep, you know that if you own a Jeep, I own a Jeep. It's like we're a community. You're part of a club because you own this brand.
We have a friend, a poet friend, who owns a Mazda, and they have a Mazda club in San Antonio. And they meet every month. And he showed up. Yeah, this is real. And he showed up on Tuesday night, right when I showed up. And I was like, hey, where were you? He's like, I was at the Mazda Club. So I kind of laughed and joked. And I was like, what, how many people there? Like 15, 20 of you? He goes, oh, no, there's like a couple hundred of us. We meet every month. We take rides in the whole country. And he's like, oh, yeah, there was only about 120 tonight. Yeah. So,
120.
Yeah. And we did a trivia question. We do trivia with this guy. And the first question was about a Mazda. He was like, oh yeah, zoom. Yeah, Mazda. He knew all the facts. So yeah, it's a thing. Even Mazda owners are into it.
Wow. Amazing. I'm learning. Yeah.
Wow. And I have a Scion keychain. I had a bunch of Scion gear before I bought my Scion. So I had Scion loyalty before I bought my car. Now they're discontinued.
Which makes it more...
The keychain or the car?
The everything.
It's a classic now, yeah, man, you know?
Yeah, I'm pissed off because...
The club cannot grow anymore.
I wanted to buy another Scion. That's the thing, man. Like, I wanted to buy... Like, Lisa's like, well, it's going to be soon you got to buy a new car. And I'm like, I wanted to buy a new Scion. You can't get a Scion because they don't service them anymore. And I'm
You got to restore it now. Like, it's an old 57 Chevy. You got to keep that... 2011 Scion going.
I gotta find a replacement. She's like, I'm a Fiat. I'm not a fucking Fiat. I don't have any Fiat gear to go with my Fiat.
Man, they'll give you Fiat gear. You're just in it for the gear then.
Yeah, I just want the swag. I just want worthless garbage swag. Like, I had a tote bag, keychain, hat, shirt.
Yeah, you had a ton of Scion.
I had a ton of Scion shit. We went to California tour, and it was in some weird art house, and I just grabbed a bunch of Scion shit, and then when they brought me to San Antonio, I was like, oh, I want that, so yeah.
This is all about.
I gotta find some free crap that'll like give me some brand loyalty to a new car. That's funny.
And so finally, they say rituals give customers a compelling reason to choose the brand in a crowded marketplace. So if there's a bunch of cookies out there, when you're Oreo and you have a specific ritual, it sets you apart. You're not just getting some random cookie; you're getting an Oreo. It gives it a compelling reason. So this is just an interesting article about something I really actually never thought about, which are brand-specific rituals, are just product-specific rituals. And so my question is, do you have a brand or product-specific ritual that you do on every day? Is there a product, whether it's a hair product or a food product or something, that you do every day and that, like, you don't think that, like, maybe other people do it, or maybe you found out that other people do it similar in a similar fashion? So mine is a couple things. Actually, sitting right here is David sunflower seeds. Now, I don't know if it's specifically for David, but for sunflower seeds, it's weird because I grew up playing baseball, and when you grow up playing baseball, everyone's eating sunflower seeds when you're in the dugout. And so I don't know why, but my way of doing it is I get a whole handful and I throw them in my mouth. And I suck the all the salt off of them. I keep them in my mouth, suck. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
keep them in my mouth, sucking for a real long time until all the saltiness.
Do you swallow? Or you
not
just,
yet. Not yet. Not till all the saltiness is sucked off of them.
Yeah, you get all the salt.
And then I start one by one. I shift all of them on one side of my mouth, and one by one start breaking them and opening them in my mouth.
Yeah.
I get the kernel out. And then put it under my tongue.
Yeah.
Take out the excess kernel and start doing that. And I collect them all the kernels under my tongue the entire time. So it's like almost like a chipmunk or a jewel that's stuffing their faces.
Like a boid.
Like a bird. Yeah. So every single one I break with this is all happening in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets even better.
I feel like I'm there.
Yeah. And so then after I'm done de-kerneling, I don't even know, de-shelling? What the hell?
Shelling.
Yeah, you're shelling.
Shelling the seeds. I am left with the ultimate payoff.
Right.
Which is a mouthful of seeds.
Yeah, I love the dedication because you could easily just buy a bag of unshelled
seeds. It doesn't taste the same.
No, man.
Yeah. Salt.
So I've got all the shells spit out, and I'm left with this like nice, like big bunch of shelled sunflower seeds, and then boom, I just eat them all at once. This one just grand hurrah, all that work and effort that I put in, and it's just this wonderful taste of all the sunflower seeds, all the saltiness, all that stuff in there at once. And this is something that I don't even know when I started. I guess it was back in the baseball days. And this is how I still do it. And I always keep sunflower seeds in my car because it's the ultimate thing of staying awake. If I ever feel sleepy behind the wheel, eating sunflower seeds is the best way of staying awake because you're constantly – it's the saltiness with the, having to have something in your mouth that's not gum. It's you'll choke on a sunflower seed if you start falling asleep. Like it's immediate. It'll screw you up. So that's my thing is David's sunflower seeds. And but also number two is I don't know if you ever use like powder packets to mix drinks. Like I drink like these like low calorie powder mixes. Crystal Light. Very specific with what I do with them. I put them into an empty cup first and then pour a little bit of water and get a – well, I use a chopstick and I stir it around, mixing it all up when only there's a little bit of water and then fill it up while mixing it still because I hate – when you have a full glass of water, then you pour the powder in and then there's like clumps and bubbles and you're not getting the full mix. And then there, if there's ice in it too, it never mixes enough. So I want to make sure that it is perfectly mixed before I add the full amount of water and ice.
And if you just put it on the bottom and add the full amount, then you get clumps on the bottom.
No, exactly.
Never leave the bottom of the cup and you have this layer of just
that's the worst.
Artificial sweetness.
Very, very, very horrible. So that's my number one answer, David Sunflower Seeds. Number two would be the powdered drink mix. That's my rituals. Every single time, that's how I do it.
I use the seeds when I drive. However, I spit out the individual shells after I shell each one. So I will put about 20 in my mouth.
Okay.
Move it over to the center, break it with my teeth, and spit out the one. And I spit it into a cup and then eat the lone kernel by itself. I do not save them under my tongue.
Wow.
So, but I only do it when I get to that point where I am getting sleepy.
Okay.
When the air conditioner no longer wakes me up, if I blast it, I will then grab the sunflower seeds.
It works.
Which are in my car.
Absolutely works.
But my one ritual that I have, and because I'm not foodie, so there's no food rituals I have, but I used to go to a lot of Grateful Dead shows back in the time where I saw that turtle that one time. And, the very first Dead show I ever went to, you know, I was young and things were happening. And I had bought a pack of Lifesavers, regular red, yellow, green, orange, not orange, but it was the third, purple Lifesavers. And I ate those over the course of the show. And I ate the first one when it started. And by the time it ended, I had eaten the last one. And it sort of helped me manage my sanity. It was like my constant, you know, it was like the one thing that grounded me. I knew
things were going
on. Whenever things got weird, I grabbed that pack of Lifesavers and had one. And so every other Dead show from that point on, and every time the similar sort of experiences happened, I consumed a pack of Lifesavers.
How long is your average Dead show?
Your average Dead show is they play like a 90-minute first set, and then they take a half-hour break, and then they come back and play a two-hour second set. So it's about a four-hour experience.
Okay, so this one roll last 4 hours.
Yes,
that's impressive.
I would not bite it. Like it was like you would suck it.
Like
and then by the time I realized the last one was gone, probably a good 15 or 20 minutes had maybe gone by. So then, you know, by the time I realized I had a pack still and found it and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, but it kept me sane and then it became a habit and I would go to shows sometimes and not have Lifesavers and go around the parking lot looking for them.
Oh,
and people almost always had them because it's a Dead show and people sell all kinds of crazy shit. So,
especially candy.
So I think that's the only time I've ever eaten Lifesavers. Like other than that, like after that happened, like maybe I had it once in a while and it was one of those impulse buys at the time. And that was the only time after that. I don't think I've had a pack of Lifesavers outside of a Dead show.
So is there any sort of like, not sensory recall, but like,
oh yeah. If I were to put one in my, without a doubt.
If you're listening to music though, if you're listening to Dead music.
Yes. There are Lifesavers. There are other certain smells that are triggered.
Yeah, of course.
and I'm going to see the Dead in Company at Bonnaroo in a month in Tennessee. And I know I will have a pack of Lifesavers for that. Regardless of anything else that goes on, just because that's what I have to do when I see this group of musicians.
Nice. So. Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Love it.
And there's a lot of, I don't know, they're not like rituals. I think they're just like what I'm eating. Like, because it would just be, then I just go down the list of like, oh, I eat this label, all these brand things. Like, oh, when I go to this place, I get all these things. And then I just realize it's not a ritual. It's just like a bunch of brand name shit I like to eat. Yeah, at a store. Yeah. Like what I do on a Saturday is I have tortillas pizza rolls and I sit down and I eat them. That's not a ritual. You just eat tortillas pizza rolls. So yeah, that doesn't really count. At first I was like, yeah, there's a bunch of them. But where I, like, on Sunday mornings I have Bill Miller's tacos. It's not a ritual. You just eat Bill Miller's tacos on Sunday morning. You just happen to have that. It's not a ritual. You're just eating it. But ritual, I guess the closest thing to it that I guess stems back for years is making root beer floats with IBC root beer. Specifically, that root beer. Okay. Like, if there's a brand loyalty for root beer floats, it's going to be IBC in the bottle. Because I remember, like, when that first – I remember being a kid, and it was like, okay, every soda comes in a plastic bottle. Well, in this Texas market or whatever, and maybe other states might have had this or whatever, but IBC root beer came out.
Always came in glass.
It was like glass bottles. Yeah. Like, oh, like, it was – like, to me, it had the illusion of fanciness. Like, oh, this is the good stuff. And so ever since then, like, no other root beer, there's better root beers than IBC, but there's a sense of, like, it has to be IBC root beer,
yeah.
And it has to be, the Listeria induced deliciousness of Blue Bell homemade, the regular original vanilla ice cream. Cause I prefer the vanilla bean, Blue Bell ice cream by itself, but specifically for root beer floats with IBC root beer, it's gotta be the Blue Bell original, homemade vanilla. So, like, that's the closest thing I can think of rituals. Everything else is just shit I eat. I guess the second closest thing would be for breakfast at Whataburger. If, like, it's gonna be the breakfast on a bun with bacon, but then I'll take the potato sticks that come with it, and I'll put that in the sandwich, and I'll ask for the Verde salsa, and I'll put that in the sandwich. So it's all one sandwich with a large unsweet tea. So there's a constant. I don't know if it's a ritual.
Once again, just stuff you eat.
That's a constant. If I go to the breakfast, it's like never.
Well,
okay, so here's what makes it ritualistic, maybe.
Yeah,
okay, here's the thing that sets it up. Like, so I stop by this one Whataburger, right? And every time I go, it's this Cuban woman. Sure, her name is.
very specific.
Yeah, it's this Cuban woman. I forget her name. It's Rosalina or something like that. And she's got a very thick Cuban accent. And I ask for the same thing all the time. I'll take a number 21 with bacon for the drink, a large unsweet tea. And I specify that because I don't want a large sweet tea. It's too sweet. And then she throws it back with this really thick Cuban accent. Oh, number 21, bacon, blah, 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 blah. You know? And so I go through, and every time, like, you would think she gets to know me, but I guess you see so many people. Every time she goes, oh, you're so nice. Here's a receipt. And she pitches the whole survey.
Yeah.
Thing. So for listeners who haven't been to Whataburger outside of Texas, it's like other restaurants, at the end of the receipt, it's like, fill in this survey of customer satisfaction online, and you get a free Whataburger Jr. or whatever with the price of a drink and fries or whatever. And she throws that to me every single time. But it's the ordering it, going through that process, smiling as she gives me the receipt, then eating the sandwich in the very specific manner of taking the potato sticks, putting them in the sandwich, green salsa verde, and then the large unsweet tea. And then that's my meal for the day along with snacks. Like, no lunch, but I got like a little thing of snacks.
All right.
So if I have that.
That's
kind of a ritual.
Yeah, putting the potato sticks on the thing.
Yeah, with the green
salsa.
Yeah, that's normally for taquitos, but that's...
Aside from that, you're just eating.
No, that's what I'm eating. That's what I happen to be eating for breakfast at Whataburger. It's not a ritual, but all right. Yeah, I like to have popcorn with movies. It's not a ritual. Fucking dolt.
Wow, man.
No, really? Yeah, really?
Popcorn? Wow.
So
amazing.
Yes. Sarah?
Fine. Okay, so one of them isn't really a brand loyalty thing, but it's... And all of mine stem from, like, my childhood, but when I was, like, little, it was when they came out with the stuffed crust pizza. And I thought it was the most... I was like, now you can eat your pizza crust first.
Yeah.
And
I
still do that. Like, no matter if it's stuffed crust or not, I've always, ever since I was little, eaten my crust first. And people would, like, remind me, like, hey, man, that's not stuffed crust. I'm like, I know, but I think it's the worst part of the pizza, so I eat it first. But I just remember whenever they did that, I was like, that's a brilliant idea. I'm going to do that for the rest of my life.
Oh, so it's not because you like it. It's because you don't like it.
Right. And And then I don't know. But then I guess another like ritual would be, I can't have a milkshake if it's not Blue Bell. I don't know why. Like,
wow.
It has to be Blue Bell. Like, I have two different ice creams in my freezer. Like, this is my ice cream I'm just going to eat. This is for milkshakes.
Yeah. Like, that's what Jess said for the root beer
this
float.
This is blue. Yeah, and when he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. I have to. And, man, like, I was a loyal Bluebell customer when they didn't have any Bluebell. I didn't have a single milkshake the entire time. And I just, I would just go to HEB and just, like, look and be like, no, not today. Yeah,
but you'd still have milkshake. Ice cream. Just not.
No, I didn't even have ice cream.
So you cut ice cream out.
Yeah, Well, because, and then I would just, like, sit bitterly on my couch at home, like, whenever, like, Breyers would come on with their commercials, I'm like, you're just doing it now because you're just trying to, like, get rid of Bluebell and you're a monster and I hate you. And
brand loyal.
I was like, nothing's like Bluebell.
I'm the same way. I tried to be, like, Texas loyal and go, well, I'll have, like, HEB's Creamy Creations because it's HEB and it'll just... Yeah. I had the carton in my lap, eating it.
You're crying. Like,
this isn't the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was something, like, it just wasn't, I don't remember redact me eating it in my lap, but I had a bowl of this ice cream, large bowl, and it just was not the same.
It's not, yeah.
Two-pint bowl.
And it was just not the same. It wasn't!
And
it's
I even
not.
Eat it. I even eat Creamy Creations now. Like, now I'm okay. Like, okay, Bluebell's back. Like, they made it. Now I support it, and now I'll have, like, Creamy Creations on the side. But no, I, like, it. Like, when Bluebell wasn't around, it was like there was no ice cream around. Like, yeah. I went on hiatus.
Wow,
so I was like, I am, like, legitimately, like, all about this.
Yeah, I'm a little brand. I converted Lisa, actually, because she was originally from Chicago, and so she's lived in San Antonio for a good period of time, but she never caught on to the Bluebell thing. I was like, Bluebell is the thing you do. You eat Bluebell ice cream because that's what you get. There's nothing else in the freezer. And she's like, let me try it. And I converted her on the original one. I was like, well, you should try the vanilla bean. She's like, oh, that shit, I don't like that. I like, now it's just the original vanilla. She doesn't like any other Bluebell ones, just the original vanilla one.
Jackie, do you like ice cream?
I eat Ben and Jerry's because I'm a hippie.
Relatable. I can get down some Ben.
That's part of the. That's like sort of the community thing
exactly.
There.
Exactly. And, you know, in the checkout aisle, and I'm like looking for the other person with it.
The Ben and Jerry's
wave. The Ben and Jerry's fist bump.
And with the HEB off Calabra, I never get to make that wave. So it never happens. So
Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. Exactly.
Goes a big Ben and Jerry's.
And then I guess the very last one would be like stemming from childhood, like whenever we were up early enough for like breakfast, like at a fast food restaurant, like we always went to McDonald's. Like even when I worked at Jack in the Box as like a 20-year-old and I would like get off work and it was like 6 a.m. I was like, I'm going to McDonald's to get some breakfast. Like I could have gotten it for free. I don't know why.
So just waking up early enough for breakfast at McDonald's.
Yeah. Even I don't do it anymore.
Now it's all day, so it kind of that lust.
Is it?
Yeah.
Breakfast is all day.
I don't think I. I can't do McDonald's in the afternoon. Like, I don't even. I mean, I don't even.
Two in the morning. It's a couple sausage McMuffins and somewhere else.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Because it's just it has to be in that one like little window. Like it's a reward for like starting your day early enough.
I'll eat any ice cream. I'm okay. Ice cream's that.
But I think about like, what is the whole like? Okay, Jeep wave. I guess I never thought about it that way, where it's like a community thing. I don't know if like any of the foods I described is a community thing or something. I don't know, like jalapeno cheese. It's crop dust. I don't know, like some other guy like gets down on jalapeno cheese. It's just like you just get down that kind of stuff. You know what it's all about.
Yours was community.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what brought it back.
And the only flavor they usually have is Cherry Garcia, which I wonder if that's intentional. So, you know, being on the west side and all. So, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, that's the one they always have the most food specials on TV. They always talk about Cherry Garcia.
Yeah,
on TV.
Yeah, that is like the most plugged.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Very popular.
Facebook answers. Gabriel Diaz says the ritual of going to the movies, getting a frozen pink lemonade, and cookie dough bites.
Yeah.
So that is kind of.
Frozen
pink lemonade. Man, that's sugar, bro.
Yeah. That's brand loyalty, but pink frozen lemonade? wait, what is it? Just frozen lemonade?
Frozen pink lemonade and cookie dough bites.
Where is he getting that from? I want that. He lives in Corpus.
He lives in Corpus. So.
They have that at the draft house? Corpus draft house?
The theaters in Corpus.
You have to go to the bullshit theaters to get that?
Probably.
God damn it.
Oh. Berto Garcia says buying biscuits and gravy at Whataburger after performing a good comedy set. Needless to say, I haven't eaten biscuits and gravy in a long time.
Berto, I'll buy you some fucking biscuits and gravy.
Even if you do bad.
Yeah.
Santos Fuentes says putting Reese's peanut butter cups in the freezer.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
All right, yeah. Ditto, yes.
Really?
That's
okay. Sounds good.
All right.
I did that yesterday.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
You know what? Thin mints in the freezer. There you go.
Oh, I just thought.
Girl Scout cookies, thin mints in the freezer. Yeah.
I thought of another one, which is I get a vanilla cone from McDonald's. The way I eat a vanilla cone is very weird. I'll eat most of the top, and then I'll bite the bottom off of it and suck it out. Through like a cigar. I'll suck it like a cigar, like huffing on it, and I'll suck the ice cream from the top. It's really weird.
I'll do that if
that is hardcore ritualistic.
I'll do that if a drumstick's
melting.
That is
really weird. I just realized that.
Well, yeah, drumstick, yeah.
I'll do that if I have a drumstick, but out of necessity, though.
No, I do it
like purposely.
No, every single time I eat a vanilla cone, I bite the bottom and suck it.
But doesn't it come with the paper on the bottom?
You have to take the paper off.
That's too much work.
That's too much work. There's always a little bit of paper stuck on the cones, and I'll eat it.
I'm already chewing it. I'm like, this is a McDonald's.
This is a McDonald's cone. I'm sure there's a cone as just as nutritious as this paper.
Just like Subway bread. It was like, oh, that's got the same stuff they use to make yoga mats. It's the same thing.
Well, I guess I'm eating yoga mats.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good yoga mat.
Freddie Perez says, I put Nabisco Nilla wafers on my tongue and suck the air out of them until it shrinks down.
Oh, yeah.
Then I take a shot of milk, crush it against the roof of my mouth until it's Nilla pudding, and then swallow. Nice.
I get it. You know what? Yeah, I get that. I was on board. I was off board. I got it. Like, wait, okay, yeah. I get it, though. I get it.
I want to try that.
The first half, I totally get. Yeah.
Albert Vasquez says, chicken wings. I eat every bit of cartilage. I must leave an organized stack of clean bones. All right?
Yeah. Like, that's just Mexican.
That's just my uncle. That's just every old Mexican dude I know just sucking on them chicken bones.
That's some hobo raccoon stuff. That's raccoon jet shit.
Greg Forrest says, I eat shrimp with the peel on for fiber.
Yeah.
So he eats canned fish.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Forrest. You eat that shrimp shell. You eat that fucking shrimp shell. I'm all about it. I love it. I love that shit. That's good.
He wanted to be a cat.
I'm seeing the theme. The theme comes full circle. Yeah. That's fucking awesome. That's perfectly encapsulates the train of thought.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's intentional, but that's perfect. That's fucking awesome.
Jenny Mattisek says, I have to pull apart Nutter Butter bars from Little Debbie and eat it layer by layer. Okay. Done it since middle school. That's a good one. Rachel Norberg says, eating Cheetos in my underwear. Don't judge me. All right.
Wait, like she's wearing her underwear and she's eating Cheetos, not she's eating
she
Cheetos.
Dumps them in her underwear.
Oh, crap. I didn't even think of it that way.
Okay. No. I think
no matter where she is, if she's eating Cheetos, she has to strip down
into her underwear. Yeah.
Or it's just not the same.
Yeah, okay. I get it. All right, cool.
Travis Case says, as a creature of habit, I have many rituals with certain brands. With Rice Krispies, I always add a hint of sugar, swirl and eat. Domino's Pizza, I always slather in Tabasco. And then at 2 in the morning, I chew and choke down 4 Tums. It's a sad, terrible cycle.
That's brutal.
Charles Gomez says, I always melt and eat the chocolate before I bite and eat the almonds in all of my Hershey chocolate almonds.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
In their mouth. Like you let them melt.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it. Yeah. That's not too far off from your sunflower seed thing.
Yeah, yeah. Suck all the chocolate off. Leave the almond. Eat the almond. Gotcha.
But then when I brought it back to Freddie's thing, he's like, oh, and then I have the almonds and then I make like a almond milk out of it or something like, or have a glass of almond milk with the chocolate almonds. That would make it like a very specific, like that'd be metal. That'd be really good.
Lex Star says, when I order enchiladas at a restaurant, I always eat them in a tortilla. So she does the enchilacos.
Yes.
Leonard Amaro says, not mine, but a buddy from Ohio eats one chalupa on top of another and eats it like a sandwich.
Oh!
It's pretty awesome if you've never tried it. I guess he tagged the dude.
Oh, they
interesting.
But they sell, that's Taco Bell shit. That's what...
Yeah, right?
The long-standing... I forgot what they call it at Taco Bell, but that's a Taco Bell thing. Yeah, but when you do it with real chalupas, it's a whole different world.
It's just because it's too mountainy when you get them from a restaurant. Like, chalupas are like, they're huge.
Well, he's from Ohio, so who knows what a chalupa is in Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. Because like chalupa at Taco Bell is a taco. Yeah. It's essentially a puffy taco.
Whatever.
Fast food puffy taco.
Samantha Lines Reek says, Cadbury mini eggs, in order to keep myself from inhaling them by the pound, I make up little rules like, today I only eat the blue ones. or one at a time in a specific color order. She goes, who am I kidding? They still get inhaled.
Oh man. So, the thing is, with those, is I wonder if you
take the cap off and you drink them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, that's, you know, she probably does that.
Yeah, yeah. Suck the yolk right out.
Justin Cooper says, when I buy a pint size of ice cream, Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Or Breyers. It doesn't really matter, though. Okay. I will usually eat it all in one sitting. That's his ritual.
Yeah.
Eating the entire pint in one sitting.
You know what, Judson? Yeah, fuck yeah. That's a ritual. So what I like to do, I also like to eat ice cream out of the tub.
That's a ritual.
Yeah.
Man, well, now I'm just thinking of all the shameful things I do. I do have a CeCe-specific ritual, though. At CeCe's Pizza, it's the first round I go for the pasta with the Alfredo sauce and then pizza. And then second round, the pasta with the marinara sauce and the food. And then third round, the chicken noodle soup, which is all made with the same pasta.
The sparkly sauce. Oh, but then in that case, I have a great Chinese buffet ritual. I always have my system.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Doesn't matter what. Yeah. Yeah, I got my system.
That's where the ritual.
I go first. This is what I do. I come back. Round two is this. And if the spirit is willing, round three.
Yeah,
the spirit's always willing.
Yeah, exactly.
The spirit's willing.
Is the body willing?
Yeah, the body willing. Oh, fuck the body. The spirit wants your plate.
So there you go. Yeah, you heard it. Brand specific rituals. It's not very funny.
Yeah, it's very shameful, actually.
Yeah, kind of.
It's very depressing. I mean, really dissect it. Look at it.
Shell on.
Yeah, shell on. That's beautiful.
All right. Well, that about does it with this episode of Public Access. Shaggy, you've been on this podcast before, so you know that this is it's an educational program. This is a very educational podcast. We are all about dishing out knowledge. And so this is a segment we like to call What Did I Come to Know? Where we talk about something that we've come to know and learn about ourselves, about each other, about the world. So you guys can think about that, Sarah, Shaggy, you can think about that. And I'll say what I came to know today. Hopefully I'm not stealing anything. One, a couple things. One, there's a Mazda car community, a vibrant, bustling Mazda car community.
Yeah.
100 strong.
100 strong here in San Antonio. Mazda, you're doing some good brand recruitment.
Mazda, zoom, zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here in San Antonio. That is very shocking.
That's great.
And two, Jess and Sarah share a very similar
likes throughout this
entire podcast.
Yeah, it's very
kindred. We're kindred.
Yeah, exactly.
Kindred animal spirits. Of wanting to immediately assimilate back into human life.
Yeah, exactly.
And hugs.
You need the hugs.
Very specific ice cream rituals.
Yeah, we're Bluebell loyalists.
Yeah. So,
which of those three things do you think is branches off to the other things that come included with that? Like being a Bluebell loyalist means you like hugs and you need
or liking hugs,
or liking hugs means the, like which is the original thing that includes those other two things.
I don't know, they're all very comfort based.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know. Well, that's just something to ponder on. That's something to self discover down the road. I'll let you know.
So that's what I've come to know. Jess, what did you come to know?
I came to know a little bit something about myself, and it is that self discovery when I was discovering my answers, that the inner me is adventurous, and maybe there is a small slice of my pie that wants to break the shackles of technology and live this life where you go back to your basic human instinct roots and wander in the woods naked, you know, the survivalist, you know, doing that kind of stuff. But the rest of the pie, like the 90% of the rest of the pie, is like, fuck that. I still want Totino's pizza rolls.
Yeah.
And
you want to sit on a couch.
I still have the satisfaction of eating trash, but not the discomfort of being forced to eat trash. So
you want to eat what healthy people would consider garbage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's perfectly good food, but healthy people say it is trash or whatever. But
those cold nachos.
Yeah, and the thing is, who would have ever thought that I would have found that little bit about myself by saying, hey, I would want to be a raccoon because I just thought that was cute. And because it likes hugs or something like that, I go, oh, it got deeper than that. But it wasn't really deep. It was just, my answer wasn't deep. I thought it was deep. And then as I was saying, I was like, this isn't deep at all. This is just very lazy is what it is. But yeah, that's what I came to know.
All right.
Yeah.
Shaggy, what did you come to know today?
I've learned not to be so hasty in calling Larry the funniest member of Comedia Gogo, because this was maybe my funniest time here.
You hear that, Larry? No, you didn't hear that. He's never going to listen to this.
You're never going to listen to this.
He's going to listen to shit.
So I take that back. So the jury's still out on that.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Other than Chris being number one, number two.
Yeah, it's up the top, you know.
And two, my food life is boring. I live a boring, boring food life. And I've been happy.
I don't think so at all.
Maybe.
The fact that you buy different kinds of bread freaks me out, man. Like, it really is. That is adventurous, dude.
Right.
There is nothing more adventurous than not sticking.
I'm not being a bread loyalist. That food aisle with much more confidence and cockiness.
Yeah, because I would never do that.
I will swag my way down it. Aisle 11 at HEB right there. All right.
I kind of want you to post from now on what breads you're eating. I really want to see that.
Right.
Because I want to be like, wow, okay, he's going with that one this week. I want to know, like, how was it? Did you like it? Like, what? So I think that's polar opposite. I think it's very adventurous.
If I ever get a cell phone with a camera on it, I'll start doing that.
That's right.
What's great is, like, how is this one? It's not going to be this, like, whole thing where this one's more nutty or this one. It's like, it was good. It was all right. It's pretty good. Like, that's just the range of like, how you like it. It's pretty good.
Come on.
Good.
As a poet, I would hope you would be able to write a little bit more descriptive.
I'll rise to the challenge.
Okay.
I'll buy a different loaf for 52 weeks.
I'll write
a poem about each, and then I'll publish a book about it.
And the book will be called Rise to the Challenge.
There it is. What's the date?
I
got
May 19th.
May 19th in 2017. Bring me back on.
Rise to the Challenge.
Will accept this challenge.
Hey, we were supposed to talk about Keanu, weren't we? Also,
Too bad there wasn't a good Keanu. Like,
there's the movie Keanu.
Yeah, but that was been out for weeks the previous episodes. Every episode you came on, I happened to be talking about a Keanu Reeves movie. When this one, I was thinking about it, but there wasn't one that was
a Keanu
fresh
movie out.
That was
other
fresh.
Than the movie Keanu, right?
Other than Keanu. It would have been forced if I brought it up. So I wanted to be natural.
Rise to the challenge.
Rise to the challenge.
52 weeks of different types of bread
with a poem inspired by each.
I love it.
That's the idea. I'm gonna write a poem inspired. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow. Buying
now you need to start another challenge to where you can beat Sarah in the nonstop every week new poem challenge.
Right, and she'll write. You'll buy a different pizza every week and write a poem.
Oh, that's a lot. That might be a lot.
Easy.
Yeah. Do home run pizza. You'll never fucking turn back. Yeah. You want to be a brand loyalist? Fucking home run pizza. What it is you put this pizza on. You don't put it on a pan. You just put it straight in the oven. It actually says, "Don't worry. Just put it on the grate of the oven, and it is the best frozen pizza ever. Like, it's the best. It's awesome. Home run pizza."
Right.
Thumbs up. I'm a home run loyalist. Everything else is dog shit now compared to fucking home run.
You take it out of the box, though, right?
You take it out of the box.
I was just like, whoa.
You take it out of the box.
Just trust us. Put it in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it's very, you put it in the box. No pizza pan required. And it comes out. It's just that crust is crunchy and holy shit. Like, that's some stuff right there. Yeah. Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Sarah, what did you come to know?
Oh, I learned two things. I learned about that new movie Lobster. I'm totally watching that.
Yeah.
But I also learned that Shaggy kind of lives like two different like lives, I guess, because he's over here like, I'm not a foodie. I'm not very. His classroom is specifically right next to the kitchen at our school so that he can go in and snack. Every day I've seen him eat like at least 12 different things. I have a stash of snacks in my drawer of my desk that I have never once eaten all the way through them because he will sneak into the class.
No, I walk
and just
in.
Eat.
I don't
just,
sneak
well,
in.
He never said he doesn't love
he
food.
Yeah. Exactly
I don't
where my
care.
Snack.
I eat whatever
he,
is in the
he
kitchen.
He gets teary-eyed when there's 7-layer dip in the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I do like
tears,
some 7-layer.
Like,
yeah.
Tears. It's, like he's eating constantly.
But that's,
constantly.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. That's a base level. He wouldn't care if what 7-layer dip it is.
Exactly.
It just,
what if it was a 6-layer dip?
Oh, I prefer
he only
I don't
eats
really
the
like,
top
really
two
like
layers.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Oh, wow.
I don't like cold.
That's one of the main layers.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Oh,
with
man.
That.
But that's just, that's awesome. I never.
I'm okay without the olives, so I'm okay with just 5 layers.
It's really a sour cream. You just,
yeah. I'll just take the chips. Yeah. You know what? Just give me the chips.
They're just like flat bread, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, 5-layer dip without the beans. I didn't think about that.
But it's just weird to see you just talk to me like, I don't know, food. I'm like, what? He's always eating. He actually, like, on the way over here, he was like, we can stop and get some snacks if you want to. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, so where is it at? He's like, oh, it's like over here, but like also snacks. Like, said snacks twice within like 3 seconds.
I like it.
Well, Shaggy, Sierra, thank you guys so much for coming on this podcast. It was awesome. So once again, Shaggy, the show is called
American Pride, June 24th, the Overtime Theater that weekend and the following weekend, 4th of July weekend. We're doing a nice American patriotic play about the war.
Awesome. We'll be sure to share it on our Public Access Media GoGo page, push it as much as possible.
As we approach to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. And Facebook, Twitter, what are you guys on? How can people follow you, see what you're doing?
Facebook, Twitter for Poetry Slam. And she has a fundraiser we're doing at the Circle School for Poetry Slam.
Oh, yeah, for the Poetry Slam. Yeah, it's May. I keep saying March. It's May 28th at the Circle School. It's going to be like in the afternoon. There's going to be, there should be tamales.
Yeah.
We made like 300 tamales and for the fundraiser, but we already sold them all. So we have to make more. And then there's going to be like
a
band.
They made them on Sunday. They made them 4 days ago from this taping and they've already sold all of them.
Nice.
So through word of
mouth. Well, here's what's good is
you're almost this, you're in that midway of where people are. Want them again from Christmas.
Yeah.
So they're sick of them from January and February, and now it's like, okay. Yeah. That's about that time. Like, you know what I can go for? Some tamales, dude.
Yeah. Like, craving's back.
So that's a good little timing.
Yeah, everybody's like, what for? I was like, because it's tamales.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I love that.
Awesome. We'll be sure to share all those links and stuff.
Absolutely.
Jess, do we have any stuff going on?
Just the usual stuff, guys. Thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We super highly appreciate it. If you happen to run about the show for the first time and you like it and you want to listen to more, there's more episodes here on oneofus.net, but there's other episodes at comediaagogo.com. And more importantly than that right now, as we mentioned, our friend Larry, he could really use your help. We have a GoFundMe for him to help him out in his medical costs for his cancer. But he can really use your help with that. So if you go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page, we'll have the link for our GoFundMe up multiple times. Or you can message us individually and get the info on it. It's on the bottom of the oneofus.net page. So super thanks for people who have already contributed. And its first day, it surpassed the goal. He was in tears. You moved him. So that's amazing. So thank you to everybody out there who pitched in. It's super great. We love you and appreciate you and all that good stuff. And that's about it. That's all I got.
Awesome. So for all of us here at Public Access, this is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we miss Larry and love him, but we're glad to hear that he's no longer the funniest person of Comedia Go-Go.
Yeah.
And we will... I'll Jeep wave you later.